But that's okay.
February 2010.
Not necessary right now.
We got a ton of. Yeah, we do. We have a big agenda.
Going to in the
and Dave, did you want to?
Well, you're going to start the meeting, and I'm going to make a suggestion.
Okay, great.
Anyone need an agenda?
Yes.
Of course you do.
Well, everyone,
waste paper and
welcome
okay, go.
To February's F-Palm.
Spell it. Okay.
You want you to spell February.
I was like, F-Palm, F-P-O-M.
If you'd ask me to spell February, I'd mess it up.
But, okay, let's see who we have on the phone first.
Sean Milligan in Walla Walla.
Thanks, Sean.
Randy Lee in Portland.
It must be a slow day.
Okay.
Richard Pasco.
Great. Those three on the phone, is that it? Okay. For the benefit of folks on the phone, we'll go around the room here. So, Greg, you want to start?
Greg Moody, Walla Walla District.
Tom Lowers, Crickfit.
Rick Krueger, Oregon.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Gary Frederick, Small Fisheries.
Bob Gordon, Corps of Engineers.
Dan Stevens, Washington Department
of Fish and Wildlife. Bill Haplin, NOAA Fisheries.
Nero Zendon, Vidalis Jambay.
Scott Benton, Bonneville Power.
Tim Dykstra, Corps of Engineers, Walla Walla.
Doug Ballas, Corps of Engineers, Division.
Tammy Mackey, Chief of Fisheries, Portland District.
Woo!
Wow, look at that new title.
Whoa.
Look acting, at that new title.
Acting.
Is that where the haircut? Is that why you got the hair change?
No.
That makes sense, you know. I've got to run in for a boss. Damn it! Nice.
Yeah.
Who's buying the shot pot at Bonneville?
I hear the Stellars do a good job. Oh, thank
you.
It's about time, Dave. I was going to have to carry some water for you otherwise.
And just entering the room is...
Okay.
We call it 40.
First thing is look at the agenda, approve the agenda, and Dave Wills has a comment.
I would like to suggest, just because we've got a lot going on today, that we restructure the order of the agenda and move right to the change forms and coordination requests and then double back on everything else. But I think the change forms and the coordinations would be more important today.
Yeah, I actually agree. There's a couple change forms. In fact, Sean Milligan's on the phone, so I was going to jump a couple of those change forms up, but I think that's a good idea. We'll move change forms up because we need to nail those down today. Thanks, and we'll do it.
I guess it's a minor objection to that. I'd like to deal with this low-mo thing as soon as early in the meeting before I get really
sleepy
on change forms and then don't have the energy to, you know, to deal with this group.
Do that one first.
Come along with it.
Which number was that, Bill?
It's a new agenda item that's not even on
here. Oh. We had three things that jumped up last minute.
It's an action item that needs to be a decision if we can get it from this group today.
Let's just start with it.
That's fine.
So,
if you don't mind.
Yes.
Oh, we can do it here instead of Fitterwick?
Fine.
I'd like to do it right here.
Yeah.
It needs to be done today if we can reach a decision.
The
agenda. So the first.
Pattern.
No. LOMO core sampling for outfall relocations.
Holy Christ.
That'll be our first agenda topic. And then we'll go into the change forms. And then two other updates I have to add. So you can add a 3.9 Ice Harbor juvenile lamprey update. And a 3.10 update on lamprey ladder modifications at McNary.
3.10.
3.11.
Okay.
So. 3.11. Is that an update or another agenda item?
Agenda item.
We're having a 3.10.
What title?
Well, it's 3.2. McNary, Dundee.
I see 3.10 on your agenda.
Okay.
But that's a total agenda item, not an
sure.
update.
Sure, sure, not an update.
My agenda
last time? Okay. Send around
last time.
Yes. So, do we have, Sean, one thing, Sean Milligan on the phone, we're pulling up your, the forms necessary for the discussion on operations at Lomo.
And so,
what's that?
A little goose?
Yeah, sorry, a little goose. And as soon as we get those pulled up, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But we're going to first, so that's it on the agenda for today, Rick?
No, I have an item that I want to have us talk about, and that is sturgeon being killed at Bonneville.
By Stellers?
Apparently by the project. It's something that's happened historically. I understand there are procedures in effect for turbine startup, but... people who are doing the hazing and also the summer sturgeon carcass surveys are finding groups of sturgeon mortally wounded floating out of the tail races.
So, okay, we will add that as an agenda topic. Thanks. Anything else on the agenda? Okay.
Be fast.
We have an agenda, and so... January minutes. Like to approve those. Does anyone have any comments before we approve January minutes? Gary gives two big thumbs up. All right, approved.
I'll give you a sideways.
You weren't close enough to receive that properly.
I'll reserve.
Your depth perception was off. That wasn't a thumb.
You see any issues? Just let me know.
Let us know if you see problems. Otherwise, we're moving on. Okay.
You can't.
So, first agenda topic that this is an addition that we're moving up.
I got them on my computer.
And it's one
start bringing them
real time.
Okay.
Raised by Bill, and it's this. If we can, there we go. Thanks. This issue is at Lower Monumental, and so. And Bill, we can tag team on this. I'll get it started, and you can fill in some details. Essentially, at last Fitterwig, you heard presentations on the need to do core sampling at potential sites for the outfall relocations at both at McNary and at Lomo. And so nothing's changed at McNary. We're still on track to do that. In fact, we're still on track to do the same thing that we talked about at Lomo. The issue was, I believe McNary was scheduled to occur in March, and so we're still scheduled to do that work in March. Lomo was, the original thought was to get that work accomplished in February, and there's a slipping of the schedule requiring it to also occur in March. So that's the sort of the request here is we want to do the core sampling in March at Lomo instead of February. The implications of not allowing it to happen in March would be it would slip the project by a year. So
what's the problem with having it happen in March?
Well, it's just outside the normal winter maintenance period. Which is when
the
work.
The in-water window at Lomo ends at the end of February.
Oh.
Whereas at McNary, it ends at.
So, what's the reason for that?
The two different periods?
Yep.
I don't know. That's the way it's been for years.
That's how it's been, and it's.
So, it's basically because you need that time to get your screens in, all that stuff. So, basically, this get your work done, and then you got to get ready for the season, that kind of stuff. You want to make sure. And also, we have slop. So, in case these kind of issues come up, you have some slop.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really affect the project itself so much as...
And it doesn't affect any resources.
I don't see this as an issue. It's the same work happening at McNary and Lomo. Both of them will happen in March.
I mean, you're not...
Away from the dam.
Yeah.
Out in the river, fish will move around. Okay. You're just fine.
Yeah, you're not doing any core samplings near the adult and entrances.
It's not,
so
there's no impact because there's no, you know...
No.
It's drilling, so...
Well, you know, those false ship at overwintering could
have... Downstream...
Do it next.
Yeah, let's move on. 1,000. I mean, 2,600.
So this is real.
Okay.
You sold me. I'll buy the Corinthian leather.
The
give me the Pinto.
All right. There are regrets in the areas that we're talking about.
There's not any evidence of reds in that area. Okay. The reds that they found have been up in drilling in an area.
That's the only thing that would be an issue.
If we're trying to thumbs up those. Why wouldn't we be drilling in an area where there are reds if we're trying to locate an outfall in a fast, deep reach?
That's where the reds are.
Right.
That's the other thing. Just make sure you're not drilling any reds. Go ahead.
Okay. Can we capture that then, Tammy? Approval?
Can in just a moment.
Okay.
Technical difficulties.
All right. So
write it down.
What agenda item was that?
That was agenda item.
I don't have an assistant anymore, so I can't be writing down crap and trying to
find. You can bring Ketta. Can you bring Ketta?
That's right.
Bring Ketta. Come here, sister.
Like what happens when a woman gets married?
Power corrupts.
Okay.
That's why she dyed the hair red.
Sucks up all my time, is what it does.
So, Bill, you were okay then to send that. We got approval.
Oh, they're mint?
And send me.
I'll send it. I have one better wall to wall.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. All right. Now we're going to follow Dave's suggestion and move into change forms. We will start with agenda item 4.1. And as soon as we get the computers synced up,
someone capable behind the computer.
We're not going to get a projector.
No, we're not get a
IT guy said we're not a priority, so I apologize. We're just told by IT we're
that
not,
means
a priority.
I'm not a priority.
Yeah. So.
What was with that guy?
He's typical IT guy.
Yeah. What do you expect?
Move. Recognize him. I haven't seen around here.
You should have heard what he said to me upstairs a few minutes ago.
Well, that's unfortunate.
We think the same thing, but we just.
That's fine, but.
Okay, I guess then if there's no hope of getting this projector. Sean, you heard that?
Yeah.
So,
is it a projector problem?
We're going to move straight into, for Sean's sake, Sean's on the phone, is going to help walk us through agenda topic number 4.16, which is Little Goose spill configuration. And so, Sean, I have one hard copy with me because I thought we were going to have this projector, but the projector's not working. So you don't have a copy of some of these tables. Now, Tammy sent out a PDF file along with the agenda.
Yes.
And one of those PDF files was the spill tables at Little Goose. With spill low crest, high crest. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking off of that. Some of the hypothetical spill tables that Sean constructed, you won't have. But so we're going to start with that one, and then we'll move into the other change forms.
Because so nobody has the tables 2A through E?
Well, they were supposed to be projected, but unfortunately our projector isn't working.
I have one hard copy that we can pass around to folks.
Good. If Fredericks could bring his blank CD down, we could get him transferred.
So just some background on this one. If you remember, there were a couple things going on with Little Goose last year. One of them was the fact that of when to pull the spillway weir out of service during low flows at the end of the summer. That was one issue, as well as another issue that was actually in the FOP, which was the issue of having a constant, not a flat spill pattern, but a constant spill level, so that we weren't bouncing the river up and down because there's a navigation issue in above Little Goose. So those are kind of two related issues of low flows, when to pull out the spillway weir, and holding spill level constant. So, and on top of that, we had a spill table last year that was in the fish passage plan for Little Goose, and there were a number of footnotes in there. And although they were part of the fish passage plan, being in the footnotes, they were kind of buried, and oftentimes were some folks were confused by that. So we now have one change form that we're presenting that's designed to do a number of things. One, pull those footnotes up into the text of the Fish Passage Plan. Yep. Two, kind of pull over some of that the language that we had in the FOP, or at least capture those concepts of holding a relatively constant spill amount at low flows, and also when to pull the weir out of service when we hit low flows. And so all of those are sort of, we're wrapping up into one change form. Yeah. Greg worked on that, and Sean was instrumental in helping put that together. And so with that, Sean, I'm going to turn it over to you to explain. So if everyone can flip to the, in your agenda, this, you do have a spill table, or excuse me, a change form that is page 22, I think, of, at least on my copy. And it's LOMO 003 change form. So
no, Little Goose 000.
Little Goose.
LGS 003 is going to be combined with LGS 0001.
And with that, Sean, take it away.
Okay. The first table I'd like you to look at, I guess, is the spillway low crest configuration.
Oh. Hey, Sean.
If you wait half a second, we can get it.
If you wait half a second, we can. We have the table.
Oh, yeah, we can read that.
Okay.
I can read it. That's your guys' problem.
Perfect.
You guys got bad eyesight or something?
We have the low crest configuration weir table up right
so
now.
So table one is now on the screen in front of us.
You have a projector after all?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, good. So this is table one. The only thing I really have to say about this is the only change in this table from last year is last year there was a provision that for river discharges less than approximately 50 KCFS, the four bay would be operated under MOP rules, meaning between 633 and 634. So I represent that in the table as the average of that, you know, 633 and a half. That's just for calculating discharges and so on in the table. Below that, below 50 KCFS, they last year's table reflected MOP plus one rules, which would be 634 to 635.
Yeah.
This year, I've built this table to show just straight MOP rules all through the whole season. And the only impact that really has is that changes on any given row, that changes the spill percentage and the powerhouse flows and, you know, the discharges through the powerhouse and the spillway slightly. Probably the biggest effect would be the spillway weir discharges will change about 1 KCFS since there's a foot difference. So that's the only real substantive change in this table. And the one thing you'll see really that I don't think we really had any problems with this table last year since this is primarily designed for higher river discharges anyway. But even as it is built to go down to about 38 KCFS river discharge, because we do start the season with the low crest in place even though it's less than 75 KCFS, which is kind of the trigger point for changing over to the high crest. But even at 38 KCFS approximately, we still have two turbines on and 30% spill. And so there really isn't any problem with, like we experienced at really low flows with last year with the high crest with turning unit 2 on and off frequently, which creates some of that instability in other places. Okay. You might, if we jump just briefly to table 3, That would be the uniform spill configuration.
Oh, it's the last one.
That's the last one. And I'm jumping to that just because I have essentially the same comment there, that the only real change I made is the mop operation all through the season rather than actually showing mop 15, plus one sorry. Through the for river discharges less than 50 KCFS. Mm-hmm. Even though the table last year showed that, I don't think that that was followed anyway. I think it just stayed at mop or within, you know, the foot of mop there all season anyway. Okay, so
we're there.
We go to table two.
Now back to table two, Sean. You want to go to?
Are you going to go back to table three again?
Well, we certainly can talk about it.
No.
Sure.
No.
Let's talk about it while we're there. So anybody have any questions about that?
We just now got to table number three, Sean.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's slower than you.
We just got to it. This shows just the uniform spill. So basically, table three is just the table that we plan to implement after the spill bay weir is removed from service.
In the summertime.
And it's also this what we want to do from, we're changing the spillway level from low to high too, correct?
Right. Any time the spillway weir is off, so that would be when they're changing the crest from low to high, or in the late summertime after flows have dropped far enough that we close off spillway weir, we would then default to this uniform pattern. Uniform meaning filling through bays 2 through 8 because, you know, our bay 1 will be off.
Right. Okay, now you want us to table 2?
Okay. As long as everybody's okay with table 3, is there any questions there? Like I said, essentially the same as last year, just with the single change for the river discharge is less than 50.
Everyone okay with that? Move on. Okay.
All right, table 2.
Which would be page 3 for you.
Just to preface what I'm going to present here, table 2 represents the spill pattern or the configuration table that we're recommending. But I've got tables 2A through E to show just some potential variations so that y'all understand the reasons why we're recommending what we are.
You all don't get to see those. They can be emailed to you.
So on the top row there, where you can see everything highlighted in blue, I just highlight that because that's really the line where everything changes. Or I mean that's kind of the crux of the whole thing. Above that, the table is pretty straightforward. We're really talking about what happens at really low flows. And what you can see is what we're recommending is shutting the spillway. I mean, the lowest discharge that for which we'll run the spillway weir is approximately 38 KCFS in the river. That's with two turbine units on and the spillway weir and two bays of one-stop training spill.
Yes, it is.
What's that?
At 38.
Yeah, you add up the two left columns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, got it.
Now, last year, you'll recall the spill table, or the operating table, showed the spillway weir being in service all the way down to about 26 KCFS. Mm-hmm. 25, 26, somewhere right in there. Mm-hmm. That was, and we discovered that at those very low flows, it was very difficult to balance the turbine operation and the spill operations and the effects both upstream at Granite and downstream at Lomo. In other words, the reservoir schedulers just really had no flexibility left in what they were trying to accomplish. on top of that, when the change time came, you know, that we were going to try and shut that off, if that day happened on a holiday or a weekend, you either had to pull crews out on overtime and so on to get it done immediately. Because you had zero flexibility left, it really didn't leave you any choice. You had to get it done right away. So what we're talking about towards the end of last season was setting that trigger condition a little bit higher to allow flexibility in the timing of when it absolutely needs to be shut off, and also just avoid a lot of those other instability issues of trying to balance all this at extremely low discharges. And initially, the target trigger condition we had proposed was approximately 35 kcfs for river discharge, and that number, I think we picked that just because it was a little bit higher than last year's thing, you know, than your absolute minimum that you could run. And we had done a lot of modeling at about 35 kcfs, so, you know, we'd know about what the river looked like there. I don't think there's any other really inherent value in that particular number, just 35. So what I'm going to show you in some succeeding tables is why it ended up being 38 as our target trigger condition.
I guess before we do that, so essentially what we're presenting today is this change form, which basically identifies all that we're planning to do at Little Goose with the spillway weir. So when we're starting the season, we're going to be in the low crest position, and then presumably flows will come up. We transition over down to the or up to the high crest position and continue to operate that. Then when later in the year, when with a declining hydrograph, and you can see this on the proposed spill table, if average daily river discharge falls below 38 K for 3 days, then the high crest TSW will be taken out of service, and then we'll operate using that spill table 3 with no spillway weir for the remainder of the year. So that's essentially what's being proposed. If people are okay with it, we can approve the change form now. If you need more discussion to look through more of the tables, we can do that.
Could you put that table back up, please?
Uniform or spillway high?
What's the uniform one after the spill bay is shut down?
After the spill bay is shut down, then that would be page 15.
One thing just to mention is that the trigger point for changing from the low to the high has not changed from last year. That's still set at about 75 kcfs river discharge.
Okay. Yep.
So I'm trying to
like Tim said, once that reaches 75 kcfs or less for 3 days in a row stream flow forecasting indicates that it's continuing to decline, then we'll make the change. The one thing that the language that has changed that's in your change form indicates that change will happen within 3 business days of that event, that trigger condition occurring.
Do you want to keep looking at that?
Well, I want to make sure I'm slow. When we're below 38, uh-huh, you're going to follow those spill patterns.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get down to some level, we're going to go to a steady flow, aren't we? Isn't that what we talked about doing?
This accomplishes what we need for navigational purposes.
So you're
going to
do the same thing? Because we're going to go down to powerhouse only of 11K or powerhouse of 11 plus one stop. And that's... I thought if the river fluctuated down in that area...
So
we're not going to follow a percentage then. We're just going to go straight with this table.
This takes out the need for a bunch of additional coordination and navigational concerns. It makes it easy.
I can explain that a little bit, Tim, if you'd like.
Go ahead, Sean.
Where we have the worst problem with a lot of fluctuations is when the spillway weir is operating, because that's such a big chunk all by itself. You know, it's okay. With the spillway, with the high crest in, it's on the order of a little bit over 7 kcfs. And with this uniform table, when the spillway weir is no longer operating, we can increment down by just one stop, one normal spill stop at a time. And so that finer level of adjustment allows us to just have a lot, to not really have those big gaps in river discharge where, you know, where the table doesn't address what you should do for a fairly big gap in river discharge.
So essentially this isn't really, it's keeping the same spill percentage, it's keeping everything constant, it's just formalizing really what we did last year and bringing it into the change form this year.
Yeah, so basically when the spill bay is closed, we're stepping away from the 30% spill criteria and just going to the straight spill.
Not exactly.
No.
Well, I see a 23%. I see a 13%, and I see that,
that's 1 year.
We've talked about it.
I mean, if we
three different times.
At the very very low river discharges, that is true. I mean, you'll see the note on about the fourth row, which represents a river discharge of about 17.5 kcfs. That is the lowest spill that you can get while still maintaining 30% spill.
Okay.
What spill level?
It's that fourth line down.
Okay.
Where the river is 17.5, and therefore spill would be 15.
The fat line.
Right.
If you drop any more, I mean, by that point, you're already down to one unit as low as it can go, and so therefore, if you drop any more, you'd have to shut the turbine off, all the turbines off entirely.
Got that.
In which case, you'd be 100% spill.
Below 17.5 is just min-gen requirements.
Or, yeah, or you would, I mean, anytime you drop any more spill below that, then it's going to be less than 30%.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that was the big problem we were having, was trying to maintain on those low flows.
Right. That's what this problem is solved. That's what we're trying to solve here. And so the spill tables that are up here, along with the change form, solve the problems, and it really, I think, it keeps the intent of what we did last year. It just formalizes, rather than kind of that scrambling that we did last year, we now can just put it right up front. This is what you do when river flows are dropping.
Well, you'll see about 7 or 8 lines down, there is a case there where you vary from 30%. You know, there's one that's 27.8, and one that's 24.3, and then one that's 33.3, and then back to 30.
Mm-hmm.
What those tables represent is what you have to do when you're transitioning from 2 turbines to 1 turbine.
Okay.
And the reason that the spill percentage varies so much there is for 2 things. One, turbine unit 1, we've had that restriction in place to keep it operating at near the upper end of the 1% to maintain strong flows along the south shore. And then turbine unit 2 represents, again, a pretty big chunk of discharge, you know, a discrete chunk of 11.3 kcfs that's either on or off. And so there's only so much of that slack you can take up by changing unit 1 from 16 to 17.5, or when you drop a single stop or 2 stops or whatever of spill. And so what's represented here is what I think is the best compromise location for where you make that transition from 2 units on to 1 unit on. I mean, you might argue you could make that transition at 6 total stops of spill rather than 5 total stops of spill. But all that really does is change the skew on those spill percentages. This one kind of brackets it, so we're with 5 stops, you'll see there are actually 2 rows that represent 5 stops. One of those is 24%, one of them is 33%.
Okay, that's just quick. Does anyone need more information before you can say thumbs up on this?
No, I thank you for the explanation. I'm okay with it as long as
okay.
Noah's okay with it.
I want to get deeper than you need to know on the details, but that was just my... That explains why those variations are there.
Could I ask for one change?
What's that?
Move row 3 over to row 1.
start with the total
start with
river,
the total river.
Total river flow, and then break it out. Don't start with powerhouse.
Yeah.
Column, you mean?
Yeah, column, column, make it your first column.
Fill out
column
change three. Form, please.
Yeah.
And make sure it's filled out right.
With a good justification.
Yeah, but all the other ones we have start with the river flow and then move into what the other part.
What, standardization of tables, please?
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to do that for all the projects? You want the first column to be the total river and then move over.
That's right.
Okay. That's simple enough to do.
Tentatively, yes, I can give you the agreement. I'll need to double check everything, but I think, now that I've seen this, I think it makes sense.
Okay. So I guess what I'm going to take from that, Tom, tell me if I'm okay. We're going to approve this, and if you have an issue, you'll bring it back. Yeah. But we're going to now put this into the approved category. Yep. Yes?
Wow.
Okay.
This has been slated. Yeah.
And we'll just shift column three over to column one, and we're good to go. Thank you.
So nobody has any more questions on those on the table two either?
No, I think we're... We should. I think we're wrapped up on this. So
you better get moving.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Sean. Appreciate it.
Okay, I'll hang up now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can call me Tim.
All right, got it. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, bye.
Okay.
Starting at the top of the change forms, then we're at Bonneville.
Starting 4.1 Bonneville 008.
Which is just removing the sentence about the MGR units since they are all MGR units.
Fine.
Approved? Approved. Okay. Change form, Bonneville 009.
Again, there's no STS as a powerhouse one.
Yes.
Cut and paste. Same one for the next one.
Same issue. Did I really need to be honest?
It's just...
We got rid of our bypass. There's no bypass of powerhouse
no
one,
bypass,
so.
No screens taken out.
So then the next one is.
I'll trade you for one deal.
It's talking about how the ice and trash sluiceway should operate. Before it said two adjacent chain gates. A 7A is an automated gate. You want the two adjacent ones over a priority unit. You can have B and C or A and B, however they figure out they can operate that. And then 10B is your automated chain gate, so you can. But you will have at least one opening on each side of the wing wall.
Yeah, you will. But I don't know that that's best for Kelly. I don't think any of us do.
Well, we can wait till Wertheimer gets back from Afghanistan.
He's not going to be able to go through. We don't have the data for that. So I'd say maybe okay for this year, but I'd certainly want to continue looking at this. Yeah. Because we don't know what the optimal configuration is for sleep.
Set it down until we know.
And open the corner clutcher?
Is that best for fish?
Well, just open, we'll just
you're a biologist. You better be talking about what's best for fish.
Well, we'll just open the corner clutcher on the other side.
Well, if it's a dangerous route, you
should have done it. All right, so speaking of corner collector, that moves us on to the next change form.
Well, did we have unanimous? Was everyone okay with
yes.
What was just stated? Okay. Okay, moving along.
We have the change form regarding opening of the corner collector, which I understand is...
Quagmire?
Yeah. So we can either skip this one for now and
Quagmire.
Wants to make a decision on it.
The thing to talk about here is the 14-hour. That's the change that's new for the change form. I don't know if you talk about it, but the 14-hour is something that's been added since I wrote the change.
What's the 14-hour?
That's so if they hit the trigger at 5 p.m., then by normal work day the next day, they can get that corner collector open.
So once the trigger's hit, 14 hours to open the corner collector?
Yeah. Okay. 12 hours would have them coming in at 5 a.m., and that probably isn't likely.
Nope.
So it's 14 and a half hours?
Yeah, talking with the maintenance crews, they're okay with that.
So if it happens at 5 p.m. on a Thursday afternoon, they'll be in
at 7 a.m. Friday morning.
Yeah, that's they're bending over to do this. Okay. I understand that.
Good. What about, God forbid, you get on Friday?
I talked to them about coming in on the weekends. They understand the importance of that.
Well, isn't Friday the weekend, too?
Well, yeah,
but you have.
But what's the odds of it falling on a weekend, though?
Yeah. In this space center? Yeah. Let's put it this way.
It always does. Yeah. Yeah.
When doesn't it?
Yeah.
But yes, that's fine, and I guess we'll wait to see where this goes.
Yeah.
Procedurally, I think this is what we're talking about. Here.
I mean, do we have to punt this up the food chain?
It's already up the food chain.
Yeah, I know, but do we formally have to do it to get this to Riyadh? Well, but the Bonneville corner too.
They already went to Riyadh.
Corner? This didn't go to Riyadh.
Yeah.
Well,
it's here. That's all it is.
Yeah.
The other
But it wasn't
there is. They had a meeting.
As a potential topic. That's how everything was.
It was
a potential
it was
topic.
It was raised as things that might come to
so
up.
Was lamprey.
Things. Things.
It's a potential topic.
Yeah.
No, it's a topic. So,
right,
so where is it?
What? Well, it's like most Riyadh things they're talking about.
So what's the formal process for elevating something from this group to Riyadh?
Don't
Does that occur?
I can tell you.
Or is this just sort of falling on somebody's plate?
No, you did use the proper procedure.
Wait a minute.
We're
wait a minute.
An update
no.
At SCT.
We are. That's
on
right.
That's on the
procedures and the roles and that kind of stuff.
I just want to make sure
I want some
here.
Clarification because I was at the Riyadh meeting and I heard it brought up as a potential issue that may come to Riyadh. But is it being discussed privately by Riyadh members on the side? Because it wasn't discussed at the Riyadh meeting, and the next meeting is in March. So, Riyadh.
The
Riyadh. So what's going on?
Riyadh.
Yeah.
So Richie brought it up to the meeting, and that's as far as I heard about it. And that's
right.
What I thought. Well, the procedure was: you go to your representative for your agency, and you bring it up to them.
It's not actually being discussed at Riyadh right now because there's nothing going on, unless there's something going on the sidelines.
That's what Riyadh doesn't have a big.
So we're just leaving our orphan at the bus station hoping someone picks it up.
It's not going to go away.
That's what I'm afraid of.
For example, ESBS is at McNary.
Yeah, I know.
What? How does it get elevated to Riyadh? We talk about it here. Gary's comment was, we can't resolve it here.
Right.
So I informed people within my organization that the FPOM discussion couldn't be resolved at a technical level and fed them kind of the up-to-date information on where we're at and say, here you all go.
Yeah,
bring it to Riyadh.
But it's not actually been raised to Riyadh yet.
It's been a potential issue.
As a potential issue, but it's not been put on their table.
I guess
something they need to actually discuss.
By a specific time frame.
At all.
Right.
Yeah, at
I
all.
Mean, there's no,
period.
There's no.
I mean, do they have a meeting scheduled for February?
March.
We have a whole.
Well, I know, but they're talking of getting another one for February.
Right.
I guess all I could say is everyone who has a rep at Riyadh, either if you're either the rep or you talk to the rep and elevate it and make sure it's discussed at Riyadh.
They need a process formalized.
Well, they're going to come to SCT and they're going to come to TMT.
Bill has a comment.
Yeah.
Here's what I know is that they're planning on having this intermediary hydro work group.
Technical hydro group. Yeah.
What is it called?
Senior Technical
Hydro below Riyadh
Team.
And our,
Brain Trust.
All of our disputes will go to that team. That Senior Hydro.
Oh.
So disputes from FPOM, disputes from TMT will all go to that team to be worked out.
Do we know who's on that team? Or is that team to be named at a later date?
It hasn't been identified
yet. A few members of that team will come to SCT for this presentation on the weekend. That's the plan.
How is this team selected, or how do they? And I mean, what does this team do? Do they? Is it a unanimous? Do they all have to agree on it? I mean, what's the process?
There's a document.
I.e., they don't have a freaking clue, and we're basically behind the eight ball like always. Excellent. Just needed to know that.
Well, I think that the problem here is these things. Fish passages is coming at us.
Yeah.
So all this stuff is going on, the traveling road show, and nobody knows who's on first, but we've got to get this figured out. Even if we have to pull together an executive group to do it, we need to get it resolved. So we need to make sure that all of our members know, clock's ticking, you know, if your process is going to take 2 months, it ain't going to cut it.
But I guess, I hear you, Gary, but isn't, like, on this particular issue, if this one, because I know it's important to you, then shouldn't it be your discussion with Richie, for Richie to solve at the REOG level?
Whatever that is, that's what I'm talking about. You know, all the people involved here need to make sure that that gets elevated to something, even if it's a ad hoc group that's set up just for these interim time until REOG.
I guess essentially I'm saying, can't you just take the ball, hand it to Richie, and say, okay, Richie, it's yours, and keep us posted?
Let me refer you to the orphan at the bus station right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is, because then he says thanks.
Because the problem is REOG doesn't have, I mean, you can bring this to REOG, REOG has them, REOG does not have a formalized process yet, and they're trying to get this scientific blue panel collar pet show something going on, which they still haven't done yet.
Well, given this,
so
given
there's
the little time.
Exactly.
Why don't we discuss the one issue that is really important that we will have to brief all of them on is, what are you going to do when you have your tailwater? Strike your gas. Is your limit. With the really low flow year, there's probably a great chance we're going to be either at or below chum minimum. So your depth compensation isn't going to be there to meet your 105 in I forgot the exact language on the waiver. Or there's no waiver until the 1st of April. And so that's the problem. You don't have, you're going to either take water out of Grand Coulee and raise the tailwater at Bonneville, or you're going to choose that you're going to go for storage and not raise the Bonneville tailwater and not turn the corner clock on because of the gas issue. That's the real hitch right now. Which trade off do you want?
Blog, that's just another hitch. There's lots of hitches here.
Well, that would be the biggest issue that I see going on right now. The rest of the stuff, the trigger sounds great. The other stuff, it seems to be worked out. This is the one that we're going to have to bump into.
That's okay. That's not what I've been hearing. That's fine. It's not an issue. I mean, right now, I hear the proposal on the table is not to put a bunch of money on the ITS for the powerhouse. That's the proposal.
Well, sure, because you can do that. It's about the gas issue.
No, I didn't hear gas.
No, what's this, Gary?
Powerhouse one. Use the new sluice way instead of corner collector.
The ITS, I stretched sluice way and you were.
But you can take that out, so.
I'll be doing what? That had nothing to do with gas, as far as I heard. There's
March?
A proposal out there that's gas related, then let's hear that too, but I haven't heard that. That's another issue. There's lots of issues.
We did talk about last meeting.
It's
even,
you know,
more.
Maybe an issue, depends on how you operate, depends on
But for this discussion at this meeting today, is this resolvable right now? I guess my
it's not resolvable.
Thought is no.
Yeah. Unless the guy next to you has changed his mind, which I don't think they have.
He said the triggers were okay.
We're deciding a procedural trigger. The decision on whether to do it or not at all is at the policy level. So let's move on.
Well, we hope it's at the policy.
Yeah, and I think that when this gets shaped up for policy, it's not a gas issue. There's more to it than that. Because this is for the future. This isn't just one year.
Well, these sound like good conversations for us to have with our policymakers. Yeah. Who can get together and hash it out at REOG-type forum.
The process used to be different, that the group would develop the issue. There wasn't just individual people throwing mud. There was a group process. It would have been FBOM developing the issue for IT.
And
we would have had all the pros and the cons, his side, my side, whatever, laid out. And then we would feed that up to that group.
Mm-hmm. So there would be a paper
not
trail.
This individual sort of thing. I see that as from.
I think we need to stick with that, too.
I do, too, because otherwise. I don't know what he's saying.
We're going to get different messages.
I'm saying, at technical level, as soon as they get it, they're going to turn around and say, what is all this stuff? Can't you guys agree on anything?
Are you volunteering to write a technical memo for NOAA on it?
Well, I've written my memo, I guess, as far as I'm going to do.
Right.
What I'm talking about is that we need to inform our IT or our REOG guys that There's a lot of new people involved here. I guess maybe too many. But they don't see the process as how it's happened in the past.
The main leader, Gary, is your representative.
Well, I've talked with Richie about it. But,
he's, I believe, the one that's going to chair up the hydro team.
Bruce is the next level up.
Richie's going to fall in Richie's place.
We still don't have members on that.
I just really heard about it. I've heard about it a couple of times. I didn't know if that was real or not. So.
Well, they're supposed to come brief SCT and TMT.
They
should have set it up to have brief F-POM as well.
That's not even next. That's a week after.
On the 18th.
Right. Yep. That's 2 weeks. 18th of February, that should ring some alarm bells.
It's getting a little late.
Yeah.
Well, we'll continue to brief our VR.
Yeah, I can see where this is going to go.
Okay.
Why don't we ask for just an executive decision?
I think we have to. Yeah. I'll talk to Richie about it. This isn't going to happen. If we don't push it, it's just going to sit.
We move on to Bonneville 13.
This one was what I caught from the FPP meeting about Gary wanted or less moved around in that language. It was approved, but I wanted you to see it in writing just so you knew what it was. Which I assumed you probably did, but here's the change one.
Can you enlarge that so that the paper fills the whole screen?
I have no idea. It's full on my computer. So, I don't know if this has to be moved back.
That'll
help.
Yeah, that'll help.
Then I'll make it to the
Okay.
We also can see page to page.
400.
There's new page width.
Is that 200?
There, it says 90.
That's going to be
so. Okay.
Want it to fill the whole screen, right?
I would say, put it at 110% or something.
Yeah, just type in the box there. No, don't click.
I'm just going to do 100%. I have to be able to see it on here. If you want
to. Man, that red hair's made her sassy.
You got to pull that back. Or push it forward. Whatever.
This is not a change.
I know.
That was the change. So now moving on to John Day 04.
Unstrike out the word two here.
Too many twos.
Limited to 100 or less.
Okay. This one was a correction of John Day 004. I think Nero had originally deleted it, but the dates needed to be changed instead because these fish turbines have not been overhauled yet.
Okay. Everyone's green light on that?
Okay.
Okay, moving on to McNary.
McNary 002, Greg.
We brought this one up last month. I was requested to bring in numbers of steelhead and the Oregon ladder, and you'll see in the chart right there, you can see the Oregon and Washington ladder, you can see the number of fish in the ladder during the first 15 days of the month of December. Again, also we'll keep in that wording to keep the Oregon ladder may not be taken out of service prior to January 1.
Just type it in.
Thank you. Just give everyone new eyeglasses. So, is that total number of steelhead from December 1st to December 15th?
Yeah.
Total number. Wow. That's surprisingly more number than I would have guessed in 06 and 07. That's a lot of steelhead.
I'm still having trouble with this one. I've reviewed it and I don't have an answer. My concern is that failing infrastructure is not a good reason to reduce protection for fish. We've got problems out there, things are falling apart and old, then we need to repair them so that they work correctly and we can maintain our protection measures as we have in the past. That's my statement. for here, and there's another one down the road, that I think this is a long, slippery slope to get on. So I guess with that, this one,
well, I
understand the need. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for temporary, I guess what I don't want to do is get the situation where we keep backing off, because we just can't keep things running because they're falling apart.
Yeah. But my thought on this was, is like, we keep the numbers in there as issues come up where they might need extensions, that kind of stuff, to bring them, and we'll deal with them on an individual basis. Okay. I just don't feel like giving a carte blanche. Go ahead, you have extra time. I'd say, if you've got big issues, you're saying it's going to take us an extra 2 weeks to do this pump.
I can deal with that. Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, it's not, I know, it's more work, paperwork, and that kind of stuff, but with these new change forms, everything is just so much better. I'm sure it's not a problem at all, so.
Okay, well, that's in the spirit of the other one, too, Tim, that's listed in this thing here.
Okay.
When we get to it.
All right, we'll keep moving on. We
next
are,
one.
That is not approved, and we're not going to bring it back.
Okay.
Fine. McNary 003. This is ESBS. All this is only in here. I basically
elevated.
Just it's been elevated. Essentially. Yeah.
What is this? Is the ESB thing? ESBS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's not go through the same discussion.
No. What I'm doing is telling you that my recommendation to the folks at division was starting on April 5th and ending, so no later than April 5th and ending no later than the 15th. That's essentially the recommendation that I made up to.
No, what it says here?
No later or no earlier than the
5th? No earlier than the 5th and no later than the 15th.
Okay.
And
okay, but I want to reiterate that this hasn't been raised formally to REOG. It has been mentioned as a potential.
I've raised it to to the core's.
We've talked about it too.
So I'm not playing there. All I'm saying is that I've elevated it to our folks. And I believe there's some discussions ongoing, but I frankly don't know what they are.
The crying babies in the space station, you ran away from it. Nice work. So
what are we saying with this change form? Are we at this level saying yes, put it in?
Except for Noah.
Everyone here last meeting, we went around the room, and I don't have that in front of me right now, but we essentially, everyone kind of tended to support where Tom was going. Gary said April 1, and anything later becomes a policy decision.
It's a regional issue.
Yeah.
I understand.
And, yeah, I get that. I'm just recapping, and then, so that's what's happened. That's where it is.
Yeah, the change form doesn't reflect, you know, what you just said.
Yeah, it should.
That was his recommendation.
So my verbal recommendation that I made to division was essentially starting the 5th, no earlier than the 5th.
All I'm saying is this is yours. This is your form.
Yeah.
This is, you wrote it.
But he's modified it since this form.
We modify. All I'm saying is just modify it so it reflects what you just said. So everybody's on the same page. You know, it's not, because what you have in here is April 1st, Monday, 2 weeks. He just said now it's the 5th to the 15th.
5th to the 15th.
So he was trying to write it so we could use it from year to year to year.
Right.
Now we're specifically looking at this year.
This year. That's fine. All I'm saying is it needs to be.
We'll put it in, but. I'll do it, but I don't know what the point is, because we're not implementing this. We're not approving this right now.
What I'm saying is that we in this committee, we are pushing something up the hill to another committee.
Right.
We ought to have an idea of what that is, and it ought to be fairly well written down.
The way it's written, does it give you the dates you recommended?
Yeah.
Because my memo covers it, no matter what you put in there for dates.
Gary, does his language covers the dates he mentioned? He just told you what they were for this year. So it's no, this isn't any different. He gives you the same result.
I'll update this change form. I'll put some of the justification in that I provided to division, and then it's going to just sit there until we get a policy decision that comes down.
My real point is that whatever we have to make sure that what the REOG or whoever it is sees is a.
And this is accurate. It's just that he went and got
that's
the
fine.
Throughout the 2000s.
I would add a paragraph. This year, here's what it's going to look like. Even as it is.
The sentence, boom, there you go.
Is it accurate that FPOM discussed and approved this at, for the 2009 year? Because I thought it
yeah.
Yeah,
we did last year.
Last year.
Oh, for the 2009 year. Yeah. Sorry.
What a year off.
Yeah, FPOM is unresolved for 2010.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is all parties here at FPOM are supporting this change form with the changes you're making.
No, not Gary.
Then this is an unapproved change.
Exactly.
Right.
It's and if you're pending. Pushing through one version...
This is pending. It's not...
Does that cover... Or just any version is no good for you? Is there any version that is good for you?
I have no problem with the version. As long as Tim accurately portrays Walla Walla's recommendation, and that's what goes up, I have no problem. As long as Tom's position and my position on Lamprey and Salmon are also... along with that.
Okay.
These guys
yeah.
look at.
Yeah. Then my recommendation was put into an email along with your memo and your memo.
Personally, yeah. I'm not saying anything's wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's wrong with this is that we have to trade out one resource for another. That's what's wrong. And so, somebody up the chain needs
to okay.
You need the O and the K with that. Okay.
Done. I'll update this and not bring it back until there's something new.
Well, kick it up the food chain as best we can.
All right, moving on.
Next.
So, I would like to see that email, that recommendation, and have that as part of the documentation of what's happening.
Okay.
So that I can pass it on for my people to see.
I'll essentially rewrite this change form and bring in justification section. I can lay out why. I think it's... essentially, it's all the technical analysis has been done, and so ultimately you were pulling it together. I'll just tell you quickly, a couple things to me that push me to say the 5th through the 15th is you look at adult returns of Lamprey back in like 03, 04.
Oh, wow.
And which though those are the offspring that we expect to be coming down now. And I don't have those numbers in front of me right now, but it was about 2,000. If you total of 2003 and 2004, it was about 2,000 adults that made it over Lower Granite in total in those 2 years. Since then, if you total up every year since then, I believe we're closer to 1,000.
Yeah.
If you total up every year since then. So the point to me is if there's ever a year... To err on the side of Lamprey and juvenile Lamprey passage, this is the year. Because anything we do 3 years from now, it...
So you're going to recommend spill first 10 days of April?
Yeah, I'll go with
first,
that.
First, I think you really ought to be
done.
In the mix.
Approved.
I mean, so that argument, though, suggests that we can do more.
That's what I was just thinking. And why just in the early part of the
one's
season?
One's listed, the other's not. And I can get into the argument, but I mean, there should be other alternatives out there that would help both species, not just
we might get too far.
Sorry, but I mean, if you're going to raise that issue, that's
well. You asked me to say what my recommendation was. I was just explaining.
Yeah.
If you have something to counter, that's great. We can add that to it.
So this is this.
Well,
this
no,
speaks
I'd
to
rather that you guys add that into your change form to put in the or.
I'm sure you would.
Well,
stated
as a recommendation that NOAA made as part of that technical review and what the alternatives are. And this speaks to what Gary was saying earlier, is that the group as a whole ought to frame the whole issue and pass it up, not just one.
Right. And I think that's essentially what we've been working towards. That's what Tom's memo was. That's what Gary's memo was. That's what last month's FPOM discussion was get input on that.
But
now,
this has been pretty narrow on just the recommendation made by Walla Walla, and it hasn't included other alternatives operations that could achieve the desired result for Lamprey and not endanger endangered salmon. So
right.
I mean, that's just another alternative that you don't have to do, but somebody else could put in there.
Okay.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
I did.
Other alternatives.
I'm just making a suggestion that what I'm saying is that there are other alternatives for operation that may not have been considered because we focus solely on the recommendation by Walla Walla. So I think it's fair to open that up.
I can get back to you that anytime they want.
I'm just saying it's fair to open it up. Right? Thank you. So
I think it should be stated as an alternative operation in the mix of things that are being elevated.
And all I'm saying is there's no bonus stamp closed. It's gone up until people are wearing that. So.
Well, we haven't. We don't have an alternative to raise that you're talking about, and that's where someone has to write it up as a memo, exactly. Or somebody.
Somebody's got to put justification in it and all that stuff. You bet. I agree.
Don't even look at me.
So, yeah, I mean, all input is welcome. We've been gathering input on this for months. So, yeah, for years, really. So, I have forwarded on Tom's recommendation. I forwarded on Gary's. So, those two memos, I tried to summarize the conversation from our last FPALM and summarize that. I'm planning to do what I just told you, which was take how I distill it all, and if others want additional materials supplemented into that, then send it. So you can send it in.
Well, you're hearing it right now. Why don't you just add it?
I've already summarized. We've already talked about this, and I've incorporated all of FPALM's recommendation from last meeting. I've done that.
Okay. Need to see it.
Yeah, and if you're not making the recommendation, you're not. But, you know, if QuickFit wants to make the recommendation, or Oregon, or somebody, to throw that out there as an alternative, I think that's still appropriate. That's going to be the next level anyway. But, you know, if you want REOG or whoever it is to consider all the possibilities, they need to have in front of them.
Yeah. I listed that out in the memo as an alternative recommendation. I talked to my policy folks. They're chewing on it, trying to figure out what the process is for this. Because it basically be a spill program for Lamprey is what it would come down to.
Yeah, that's what it would come down to.
And
it just needs to be discussed.
Pretty radical.
Yeah. Crazy concepts.
Okay, McNary, 005, trash rack cleaning frequency. What we're doing is we're just
incorporating all the wording that was recommended during the month of January's meeting.
This is a minor tweak of what's in the fish passage plan already. We've discussed this change form already here, and we've revised it to incorporate suggestions made then. Essentially, what this is doing is it's just ensuring that, well, practically, it means more cleaning of the trash racks.
I want to correct something here. Comments from others.
Okay.
Frederick doesn't see this as an aggressive way to deal with trash. I didn't mean that, if that's what it sounded like. I think it is aggressive. What I'm concerned about is that it's not, it's reactive. But it's not even reactive. It's proactive, but it's not reactive to a specific. We don't know what's really going on out there, so we're just going out and raking and hoping that it's the correct thing.
It's a periodic instead of a proactive program.
I don't want to say it's not proactive, because it is, because you're out there
casting
for a solution. Yeah, you don't know. A better way to do this would be able to monitor.
Aren't they monitoring differentials from the trash rack to the differentials right there?
They are.
To see that differential go off, they actually react and do a trash rack clean. Isn't that in the FPP?
It is. And if you have a whole bunch of tumbleweeds stuck on your trash racks, your differential will be...
That can occur overnight.
And you won't see it.
Yeah.
That's some trash.
And
that's my only concern out there. Nothing wrong with this. I'm okay with this. It's good. It's just that long term, this doesn't address long term. So for me, it's okay for now. But
okay.
In the future, we need to be thinking about ways to really monitor what's going on out there.
Okay. So can we,
without looking at fish,
can we approve this change form now for this year, and then we can continue a discussion on
how it's stated that way as an approval, a single year approval.
We can go forward and do this until we get a better means of monitoring and determining when we should be doing the trash rack. This is the methodology I'll go with.
Yeah.
When
mm-hmm.
we get a better system, we can augment, change the FPP at that point.
Okay.
You
happy?
We're okay.
Good.
With doing going forward. Yeah. I don't want this to be the end.
No. Sure.
It's not the end.
Right. And we have that project.
We need adaptive management.
Moving.
I agree.
And we'll certainly, when we get a product out of there that we can use, we'll certainly bring that in.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Okay.
Just with him, this strikeout is one that includes too much. If you say at end monthly for the first 3 months of the fish
mention as we vote? What? It's just prior to the fish pass this season and monthly for the first it'll take care of it with the next sentence there, whether it's a rake will be required to inhibit debris or present in the river.
But the discussion of the fish passage season.
Generally.
Sure. Of the fish passage season.
Of the fish passage season, yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Approved. We are now moving to McNary 007.
TSW operation.
This is essentially what we decided on. This was we're operating both TSWs to start the season, and then remember Dave brought in that data in between our FPP meeting and our FPAW meeting.
Yep.
June 5 was the date that was selected because 95% of steelhead had passed and only 5% of subs had passed. Yep. And so that's the date. The only glitch was we were still, clearly 100% nailed down yet. I think we can hit that date.
Okay.
But the issue was, and this is, I've made a number of phone calls and I haven't been able to get an answer. The problem is, can we leave the TSW just kind of dogged off upstream and still maintain the ability to use the gate hoist so we can still operate that bay? Or do we have to pull them out? When I talked to folks yesterday, I was given the, like, we're almost there. We can almost commit to that date.
But, positive head nod.
But there was a couple things that had to have to fall in place. So it looks encouraging that we're going to be able to hit that date of June 5, give or take a couple days. The issue was if it couldn't be dogged off in place, then we were going to have to move the TSW from its current location down to the boneyard. Yeah. And to get there, you had to build a cart to basically transport it down to the boneyard. And so that was one of the glitches that we're working through. But the point of this is that date is June 5, and I think we can hit that plus or minus 3 days.
Can you say that in here, that instead of giving a 15-day or 20-day?
Instead of the 20th?
That just seemed to me like ignoring the Dave's information.
Yeah, and this isn't really the most up-to-date. So it should say
June 5 plus or minus
both TSWs were removed from the spill bays on June 5 plus or minus 3 days. Three business days.
Yeah.
I can go that route regardless of what's going to happen this year, because that would be the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else, if something breaks or you can't do it, you got to do something else.
I'm comfortable with that, with the expectation that that's the goal. That's what we're shooting at, and if something changes, we'll bring it back here.
Done.
Okay?
You might add Dave's data to this change form.
Yeah.
See it on there. But
okay.
Capture that?
We will update the change form.
Can we just plug that in right now? Just go up.
Tell you.
Both TSWs removed on June 5. Plus or minus three business days. Period. And that's done.
It's also about personality that I think comes along.
Delete.
And then just a note, bring Dave's data into justification.
Yeah.
Attach.
Do you want
to finalize
data recording with the regional fisheries manager?
No. I think we cut everything else after that, and we'll bring it back here if we can't hit that.
And did you get that side note? Attach FBC timing data.
You've already sent it, right?
Yeah, they got it electronically.
Timing data.
Yeah,
Citizens are 8. Update the sentence, remove the adult fish passage. It's actually in that form, in that statement in the FPP.
Spelling should be in class with.
It's in three words.
Yeah. Let's. Yeah, we don't have an adult fish passage pattern anymore, so yeah.
We don't have the adult fish pattern anymore, so that's removed.
Done.
Everyone agree?
So spilling here shall be distributed in accordance with the spill pan included in section table 7. What's the title of that table? Does it talk about adults? What's it talk about?
So I think it's just the spill pattern now.
Look at section 2.11.
I don't know what that table's called in.
No, I'm just asking, what is the title on that table?
What do you call the spill table that you're referring to?
It's regular juvenile fish spill table.
Okay.
Yeah, the summer
spill juvenile fish spill table.
Yeah.
Then why in the next sentence are you referring to special spills for juvenile? Because in the first one you were talking about adults, and now you're talking about juveniles. So is everything, what other table is there for spill for juveniles?
There's nothing other than what the spill tables are at the very end of the section of the book. So then that's what we have in that one section. The spill tables. Those spill things must have come out. That's a good point. If there was something special or if it came out differently in the FOP. That's a good sentence to knock out, because we're only going to have one set of tables this year. And so, as far as I understand.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good catch.
That's a very good catch.
Okay. Approved. Now we're moving to McNary
009. This is what the McNary the turbine operation tables look like as they do right now after the approval that we've had at it. However, after Tim's operation, the tail race of McNary a week ago, we wanted to add in a couple of more lines to it. You can see the very next one, we want to change it over to and include these two new lines for other operations.
Man.
These includes Tim's floats in the tail race. His study that he just completed.
His floats?
Yeah. His orange floats.
Essentially, you can see what this is saying. So, during the fish passage season, when there's no collection for transport, then we're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then descending order, 14 down to 6 or 5. When we're at fish collection and transport, we're 14 to 1, descending order.
And no spill.
And no spill. And then juvenile bypass or fish collection, transport, and four-bay temperatures.
I'll just say right now, I think you should take this change form out and get rid of it.
Okay.
That we would accept a special ops for 2010. I realize it's already what the plan says, but we know we've talked about this, and we aren't comfortable with not having units 1 or 2 or anything on that corner on late in summer. Spill 50%, whatever it ends up being, and maybe only four or five units on the other end of the powerhouse. I think that goes against a lot of information that we have over the years. I'm concerned about that. I think that having the RT study this year, being able to look at this more carefully, will help us see if there's an issue there. I also think that next week, some of us will be down in Mississippi and probably get a look at this. Mm-hmm. How good the model will be for that particular area of their type. But I know you guys went out and looked at it. I'm concerned that the adult fishery wasn't running at the time, so you couldn't really get a good look at what was going on there. Mm-hmm. Anytime you get eddies in that area, you know, you guys mentioned if there were eddies,
yep.
In that area, that can cause confusing signals for adults.
results, plus we're not sure what happens to that flow as it comes out of the entrance. We don't know if it will hug the shoreline, which would be good, or if it gets pulled across the powerhouse, mm-hmm. which probably wouldn't be so good. So there's more to this. I'm reluctant to just... We didn't change it until last year. Last year we changed it. I guess I'm guilty for not paying attention to that because I should have caught that.
So right now, if with no change form, and we're at we're in transport. We're transporting from McNary. Turbine unit 14 is the number one priority unit down to one in descending order, and that's what you want it to stay.
We know that. That's what you're saying for next year. You want that for two and out. Really, I mean, what I think it'd probably be better if we had three and four on this year. We really need to take a hard look at this operation. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you have all, if you have spill, mm-hmm. half your river is spilling, you've got 120 in the river, 60 spilling, 60K divided by 12 is 5 units. And from unit 8 on down, you've got no attraction flow, nothing going into that corner except right. fluid morphosis. That, to me, is a concern.
Right.
No matter how good your AWS flow out of those entrances is, I doubt that it extends far enough to provide connectivity to the rest of the river.
So how is no change form going to help that?
Well, what if we could change it to something new and have units 3 and 4 be a priority units if you want to go down that path?
That's what I was saying here. At the end of summer spill.
At the end of summer spill.
You have more units. During spill is what...
Right. I'm concerned about during spill.
Okay.
So this is a little more complex than what... But
we'll get... Before we go too far, too, when you're down there at the model, would you please look at having units 1 through 7 off and then 8 and 14 on or off?
8 and 14.
Because there's an operation that I don't know if we're going to get to today, but then year after, we're going to have to do some major line work with 2 weeks off, and we're hoping for August, then 1 through 8 off, and then...
Yeah. Well, that's really going to fit in with what I want to look at anyway, because I'm thinking that even the way it says now, we could have the entire two-thirds of the powerhouse off towards that side.
So your concern is in this box.
I'm sorry,
right here.
I didn't go over this very well. I mean, the way you guys have had it set up for next year was you want to get T1, you know, 1 and 2 out. Okay.
Well, you said that's okay. Have 8 units out.
So. But for this year, that we've got those 2 out, and the way the priority was in the past is 1 down through, or 10, 14 down through
1.
Right.
So that's like what Han says now. I thought you were changing it so I guess that wouldn't change. I don't know what you changed.
What's being changed?
One to 14 in descending order. That's what it is now.
Which is what it is now. And the change here is when summer spill stops at the end of August, then the current fish passage plan keeps 14 as the priority unit and 1 is the lowest priority unit. What I was proposing, when summer spill ends, making unit 3 the highest priority unit up to 14. Okay. So I was trying to
load the reverse way
to accomplish what you were talking about.
Yeah, I understand.
The only thing, there is, I mean, at the time of Windows, I think Gary's also talking about, is like it's when you're below 70
yeah.
and you still have spill going,
uh-huh.
you're going to be the other way. You're going to have, and that, so you might want to have some sort of.
But that's the temperature problem. I mean,
then that overrules.
Yeah.
That overrules.
Right. Yeah, no, if it's temperature, then you go the other way. But
if you're below. It doesn't always occur that late in August. I mean, we're starting to get back.
Sure.
Yeah. Bit. So really, the what you're talking about, Gary, I think, is like the month of August when there's no temperature issues, what do you want unit priority to be?
Right.
And right now, you know, a few years ago, it was 1 up to 14, and then it changed back before I even got here to 14 down to 1.
I think something that Gary did, maybe go 3, 4,
right.
for next year, I could see going 3-4 and then 14 down or something like that would be what I would probably say would work.
And that's all I'm saying is we should look at the model.
Okay. We can verify that.
Okay.
And see if that
looks good. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So can you? So what's in this change form right now? I'm not hearing you disagree with anything that's in change form right now, other than we want to add another issue when we're in fish collection transport. And 4 bay temperatures, and there's no temperature concerns, then we wanted the model to look to see if it would make sense maybe to make 3 and 4 the priority units, and then 14 down.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that have changed, too, the TSWs. We're trying to feed the TSWs. They're not going to be in.
They won't be in.
So,
yeah, they won't be in.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, those are things that have all changed.
Yeah, we can.
Because fortunately, we do have a little time for summer.
Yeah.
So I've got.
So
in collection.
Punt on it, and let me know what you see. I'm not going to be down at Erdick, unfortunately.
What? Oh,
what?
So
no fried fish for you.
I know.
You are.
Ryan. And.
Jason.
Jason.
Got my tickets and reservations.
Ann Setter, Ryan Lowry, Doug Baus. So
we'll be looking at this then.
Yeah. No, this was just my attempt to say, okay, spill ends. Why in the world do we want to keep bulking up flow through the north end of the powerhouse?
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me. So I don't hear you disagreeing with the logic.
I don't disagree at all with that.
But
I thought it was something else.
Yeah. But let's...
No, it's good.
Let me know what you see, and I'm all ears.
A little more tweak, and we'll take care of it.
Okay. Sounds
good.
Okay.
Then
you want to add MCN10. That's the one we're going to pull. Delete.
Oh, this one's...
This one we want to delete.
We're not pushing this forward.
We are pulling it back.
Which one?
McNary 10.
Page 21.
That was the
McNary 10.
Extend the in-water work period.
No.
Well, really, removes the screens out of the unused units. I was going to say that that's okay as long as you don't run the
units.
So, I mean, I would, if it helps, this is one of those, another one of those where it's failing infrastructure, you know, bothers me, but as long as you promise not to run the unit.
So that's what we have on Snake River. We don't operate things.
That's what
we do.
That's what we already have, which is why I'm pulling it. There's no. This is kind of.
Yeah.
What's the point? We don't run a unit at this time without screens.
Yeah.
So if you want to pull the screen early, we still run the unit.
Yeah.
Good.
So I don't see the need for the change form, which is why I didn't. I pulled it. Yeah. But this it's pulled in the agenda, but it's not pulled back here.
Oh, it came back
to haunt us.
Okay, Lomo 003, the bulk versus uniform spill.
Lomo, yeah.
Yeah,
And that's Fitterwick.
That's going to be Fitterwick.
Yes.
Fitterwick.
So, we're not...
That's Fitterwick.
Okay. We've already talked about Goose, unless people wanted to go back.
Can I, please?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
So,
action item. Agenda, item one.
Lower Granite
004. I'm putting the table, the request was to make the tables look like they would be in the FPP. And so, if you look. There, that's the way it's going to look like in the FPP.
Much better.
That goes along with the rest of the Snake River projects.
Okay.
That lines it up with the same thing with the other Snake River projects.
So is that all?
That was it.
Yay.
December dates. Just to line them up.
Everyone's okay with that?
And we remove the screens on the 15th.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Well, there's. It's really not. It's.
Okay, that's it.
That's it.
Well.
Oh,
okay, we are through the change forms.
Well, the question is, so Dave Benner sent in a craptacular load of them, and I heard there was issues. What are we going to do with...
Okay, it is on
We're still talking change forms. Those are change forms.
We'll wrap it up.
So we're going to have a special change form agenda?
Okay. I do have an agenda topic for this, but we can... We'll just discuss it since you brought it up.
Let's go through the action items.
Essentially, Dave sent in...
Dave can't write.
A slug of change forms. Dave and I talked about it. There's a couple things that I asked Dave to do, which was basically provide the fill out the change form so that it's not just some proposed language, but justification as to why, as well as
you're just being mean.
No.
I got to do it.
As well as what we're also trying to do is when we have language in a change form, we try to make it so that it's just cut and paste out of the change form into the plan rather than... So Dave's graciously said he'll take a stab at
some of these change forms are really just kind of comments.
Don't put those in a change form.
I don't have to put those in change.
Those are discussion items, and you can let me know that you want those discussed, and it'll go on the agenda, but it really complicates the change form process when we have comments in there rather than proposed changes.
Okay, so
additional number of change
forms. Yeah. So it's every change form should be, this is
just
what...
Just send a letter next time.
Well, I sent a letter for about 25 of them. Change forms for the other that are kind of smaller,
that are I'd say if there's specific language that you're proposing be changed, write a change form with it with the exact language that you're proposing be cut and paste into it with the justification. If you have a discussion topic that you would like discussed that ties back to something that may ultimately result in drafting a change form, but a discussion topic, you can include those. Tammy will capture them on the agenda, and we can discuss those so that if, based on the discussion, we either say, yeah, that's a change form's necessary here, and then you might get some homework, or we'll work with you to develop those change forms, or we say, thanks, that's a good discussion, but now after we talked about it, there's no need for a change form. So for the ones that you know are, you have some language in mind that would help for the FPP, put it down, we'll cut and paste it, get your justification for it, and then we'll go with that. Discussion topics, send those to Tammy. So that, I think, will significantly reduce the number of change forms. Once Dave's done that edit and pulled the ones that really aren't change forms, and then we'll take those, and Tammy will send them out to the group, and we'll plug away.
So bring us the right rock next time.
So.
No, you don't need to send out to everybody. Tammy will, because we all need a comment on them first.
I know. I mean, here's, and I, in some ways, change forms can be a pain. We admit that. They make things a little more cumbersome, but what we're buying by adding that layer of just whatever accountability is. We're able to track what's being changed from year to year. We can justify why it's being changed. We can see, capture the discussion. So I think it's important. Actually, this turbine unit priority at McNary is a good example of... I don't think this was very... It's difficult to go back and reconstruct why these changes were made, who proposed them, what was the thought behind it. And now we're going to go back and change them back to what they were before. So we're just doing this kind of flip-flopping. We want to avoid that. And if that means we're adding this little layer of cumbersome
change form,
just layer on this,
process.
Then I guess that's the price of just being able to document what we're doing. So the goal isn't just to be difficult for the sake of being difficult. The goal is just to be able to see, have transparency so that everyone can see what's on the table and so we can have some ability to track that. So I'm sorry if it comes across like we're being a pain. I don't want that to be the case, but we want to be able to capture where we're going. So thanks for
for your help on that, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Just bring the right rock next time. Good God.
So the point is, the other constraint, though, you know, we have, as you all know, in January, we have a meeting that all we do are change forms. So then, you know, we're going to have this slug from the Fish Passage Center on top of all this other business that we have to do. And so we're just, my guess is it's going to take us a few months to get through all the change forms. And, you know, that's okay. We have, this is what FPOM does, and so we'll get through them. And if we can't get through them one meeting, we'll carry them over to the next, and the next, and we'll just keep working through them.
There's no need to wait till the last minute to submit change forms. That's why they're on the agenda year-round, and waiting till the last minute does nothing but aggravate.
And we all we don't want to aggravate.
No, right now it is not my job. There's nobody.
No, it's our job to aggravate you. Our job is to aggravate you.
We all
know
how aggravated redheads can get.
She just wanted the outside to match the inside. That's all she was going for.
I don't want to. The thing I don't want to do is sort of steamroll over Dave's thoughts here, though. And, you know, if you have important issues that really need to be changed. Yeah, let's get those out as soon as possible. We can have a separate
conference call. Yeah, something. Yeah, we can do it.
Well, that's why I asked Dave to take it and prioritize it. And you know, if there's an important, basically prioritize it, not just in terms of the important ones, but also hoping that the important quick ones, followed by important ones that might take more discussion. I want to get through as many as we can get through. We're absolutely not steamrolling and just blowing past. But at the same time, today we would have kept the meeting going, but we have another meeting after this. The AFF.
We're talking about change forms.
And so we'll get through them. It's just we're probably if we need if there's certain
iteration
ones.
Iteration is a month iteration, and we get into the season. I just want to make sure that we're not beyond the opportunity to change these things.
We're never at an opportunity to change the thing. Now, whether, if you're asking...
I don't know what they are.
Well, every change form...
I don't know if there's something that needs to be changed before the season starts.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You are too, I think.
Yeah.
As long as we get these priority ones out there...
That's why he's going to add that.
Maybe March is soon enough, maybe not.
And maybe, and maybe some of them...
It gets printed at the end of February. So if you want them in the 2010 FPP, we need those by the end of the week so that they can be sent out and you all can have a 2-week review period.
This gets out of that long process. That's what I'm talking about.
We need to have another meeting in one form or another.
There weren't that many that were critical to being changed in the 2010 FPP. There were a lot of questions and a lot of requests for justification for why things are written the way they are, but there wasn't anything that substantially changed the way the FPP operated that would go into this year's FPP. There was nothing that had to go in this year that couldn't wait till next year.
So, I guess...
Having said that, you can provide an opportunity to make those important ones if we can.
Right,
the next
he can certainly do that.
So, Dave, why don't you do this? When you're going in to prioritize and you're putting them in order that you went and discussed... I guess I'd ask you to not only prioritize them, but then provide some cut line that everything above here you'd really like discussed. And we can, on those, it looks like we're going to have an FPP call with FPOM to work through those high priority ones that can't wait until March.
The end of the week, if you want people to have a 2-week review period, and we want them in the 2010 FPP.
But you've already got it, right? So, really.
What else are you going to do tonight?
Can you send them in and close the business on Monday?
Well, I guess we should ask RCC, who actually has to all this and get it printed. Last year, we did not get it printed in time, and we had operators who were very frustrated because they did not have their fish passage plan. I would like to not have that happen.
Maybe their bathroom reading.
That's why I'm trying to. Mm-hmm. I think we need to see them sooner.
And then, like, you know, in Mississippi, a couple of us next week, that's a chance
to have Mississippi got fitter wig.
So, Dave, I would just ask that you find the ones that have to be in this year. If they don't need to be in this year, then we'll just add them to the list and discuss them throughout the year.
The ones that have to be in this year, send those in. And I would think, I think we can give them until the end of the business day on Monday.
Well, I think it's up to F-Bomb. I mean, I think it's up to F-Bomb. I mean,
I think almost tomorrow at noon, actually.
It's a timeline issue.
So, basically, let's since we're talking about this, figure out when this this meeting, this call is going to be. 16th of February?
In the afternoon, there's a FPAC meeting.
February 16th is a Tuesday?
In the afternoon.
Afternoon?
Or after the FPAC meeting.
You won't be here the 16th?
I won't be here.
Can you call in?
No, I can't.
You're in Iowa?
So, the 19th is a possibility.
That works for me. I can do 19th.
Friday, you know, most of the core guys are
19th. Well, we can do 19th morning.
Yeah, I have you guys can just go ahead.
I have a
22nd.
Does the 6th?
Well, I think just from the process standpoint, I mean, that's the main concern here that's driving this. I don't think the intent here at all is to shunt anybody from process. It's just literally, how in the heck do we get this document done?
Well, what we could do is we could send them out, people review them, have a conference call. If people can't be on the conference call and they have issues,
write
them in. If they don't, say, I approve them.
What about next week?
How about next week?
What about the 10th?
When's the 10th? Wednesday?
We're at Erdick.
You make a phone call from Vicksburg.
Phone call. It doesn't have to be that long. If we have a chance to review them,
That's the key.
We have our own opinion of them. And we have the call, and those that are thumbs up, I think they're going to be real fast, and those that are long.
Let's see, what do you think? 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock Wednesday? That puts you guys at about noon?
What day? Mill Creek Work Group.
What day?
10.
Noon on Wednesday?
Does.
That'd be good. Noon Mississippi time?
Yeah, that should be about. Because they're only 2 hours ahead, so that'd be 10 o'clock.
Does the 11th work?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm saying about the same.
We might be free of some of the activities by then. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
10 o'clock, the 11th.
According to your meeting, is that on the...
Yeah, we have a...
What?
There's a Gordon McNary meeting. Looks like on the 11th.
Lamprey.
What? Okay.
Oh, gosh.
And the 12th is a travel day for Erdick, so you guys can't do the 12th.
Yeah.
When's that work group meeting over?
That's on the 10th.
On the 10th.
It's all day.
So you won't be back by 2? Can you be back by 2?
That's going to discuss at the lower end of Mill Creek.
It's the same change.
Do they approve it? I don't approve work orders.
Yeah, it's just not in, like, as hard as basically construction or the workshop, you know, this way. But that's an issue. You know, it's not in the ISR section.
The 16th doesn't work.
What I'm trying to think of is if maybe we can do this by mail. So, email. And now, if it can't happen because we can't all get together, at least these can go out. Everybody can write down their thoughts on them. Yes, no. We can talk, and then you can take a look at those and see if
that would be fine. That's how we do the coordination.
A chunk of them are done off the table, and then those that are left over, if they're really enough that are a big issue, then we have to talk. But I'm hoping we can resolve them that way. So it looks like it's tough to get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we.
Okay.
That could happen faster. We can give everybody, they can get them out tomorrow, Monday, we can turn it around by the end of next week.
Yeah.
to
because I want the logo.
Everybody's comments.
I want the project biologist's opinion.
And then anything that's left over maybe has to wait until March.
Okay.
That'll be that plan is a little bad, so there's things maybe we have to go into.
So Dave, can you send in the ones that you believe are the high priority ones for this year by close of business on Monday the 8th?
Yeah. And all the easy ones too, because those are easy to get them off the table.
Sure. Yeah, let's get them off the table, the easy ones.
Sure.
All the no-brainers.
The high priority and the ones that'll,
just usual ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just send them all out.
Get them all out.
And then what'll be next?
Spam everybody.
And then send them to us. We'll send them out.
Jam the inboxes.
No conference. The we can send them out as soon as we get them.
Yeah.
On Monday.
You don't need to number them. Doug and I will properly number them.
I'm
just saying
good point.
That
that's a good point. That's what it should be.
Yeah. People should not be numbering their own chamber.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
Mine are always number one.
Exactly.
Okay. So then we'll give give folks
good Lord.
A week to review.
I know comment is a comment.
I guess if we get comments back. How long will it take people to review them?
It's up to you guys. When do you meet?
Yeah, that's really the big question.
Well, it's going to take us some time to then incorporate all your comments into one change form that will go on the web, and then take those change forms and put them into the documents. And I don't have an assistant, so if they could come back by close of business on Friday, that will give us 2 weeks to get them together to send to Doug.
Burn looks good in a skirt.
What happened to Johnson?
Don't go that way.
Did you fire him before you even hired him?
No. He has some other issues, too.
So,
he used to be the head, and they signed the contract.
Can, if we get input by the 12th?
That seems reasonable. Close the business.
If they're easy ones, it shouldn't take very long, should it?
I'm way too grumpy today.
No, but I think that's the main concern. If essentially there's some concerns or any type of discussion,
right.
The concern is if we don't have everything buttoned up, signed, sealed. You know what? That's almost one way to put it. If we can't have the signed, sealed delivered on the 12th as being done, it needs to wait until next year because that's we're running up into processing deadlines as far as printing the documents.
Folks that are at ERDC, can you guys get comments back by close of business on the 12th, Friday?
Yeah.
Next Friday? And if that was the drop-dead day, if anything was outstanding, we couldn't kick it down the road any farther, I guess, is all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Is that okay?
So Dave will send them to us on close of business the 8th. We'll email them out to you all when we get them on the 8th. And then you have until close of business the 12th. So basically...
Otherwise, they'll get delayed.
4 business days to review, get your input. It's going to be quickly apparent. The ones that that drop out, everyone's supportive, get included. The ones that people have concerns about and we're going to require additional discussion, I think then that what that means is we'll discuss them at March or after, and we can still talk about them, but they won't be in the printed 2010 FPP.
That's okay.
Be on the web version. The webinar version.
No.
The web version, yes.
We're not that good.
I'll be learning HTML real quick.
Yeah, must be one.
All right.
The webinar one.
Where are we at now?
We are now at...
I will give you 35 minutes. I will cough, so that way I got 20 minutes to get my stuff. But you got 35 minutes, and I got to go. Because we have a meeting at 1. And I'm going to be grumpy enough for that one already.
All right.
35 minutes.
I think we're essentially throwing out the agenda for the most part.
Well, what are you going to do with 35 minutes?
Here, we'd like to get through the Dawn Day actuators.
Yes. Pick your priorities.
Okay, so let me just take a quick pulse check of the room. We have Natalie.
Number one. We're all nine. Yeah, we'll do this quickly. It won't take long.
Okay, so
promises, promises.
John Day actuators.
Yeah.
And then sturgeon.
Sturgeon.
We also have to get through the UMT study plan.
Yeah, because it's yeah.
And
those are the John Day transmission lines. They're going to issue the contract in March, so I need to have some direction.
Okay.
We could probably do that as a coordination form if necessary. Just, I mean, if time runs out, we can do that.
They got to get their contract out the door. So.
Okay, we're gonna the next. We'll see what time we have. We're gonna start with John Day actuator, then we're gonna move to sturgeon discussion, and then. Needs what?
Shane, you need to get yours done today, right?
Okay, we're going to do the best we can. We're starting
number six with agenda item number six. Did Matt Mason just call in? Did someone just call in?
I'm here.
Okay, we are now on agenda item six, which is John Day actuators. Go ahead.
Okay.
Everyone got the handout for this item. The gist is that the actuators for the North Ladder and John Day cannot be delivered before the completion of this project, which means it will need to be watered up, the ladder needs to be watered up after the finish of major points of construction, this concrete work, when the new weirs are installed. But the regulating adjusting weirs will have to be in one fixed position until those parts can be installed at the nearest opportunity, which we are proposing would be August, which is the period between summer and fall around, which is traditionally used for our ROV inspections, so we get some sort of leniency. The fish numbers during that time are low. And however, the good news is that according to Steve Schlenker's calculations, the entire range of operation can be covered with this one setting quite easily through August. And after August, they can be installed and we cover the rest of the passive season with normal operation. The ladder would stay up, and it looks like it will be meeting criteria with no problem. Because as opposed to the way Steve Schlenker has explained it to me, as opposed to the south ladder, the north ladder was designed somewhat differently. It's more hydraulically efficient, and one setting, which is the highest one, will cover the range all the way to 4 bay 261, which I think is plenty. Because we rarely even go below 262.
262.5.
261 happened only once in 10 years, in the last 10 years, for a few hours, so it's really more of a success.
So, in the beginning of August, you want to put in the new actuators. What is that going to do to the ladder while you're doing that work?
So, as I understand it, the walkways will be in, we'll cover the walkways with tarps or even maybe have to bring in plywood so nothing drops in. Yeah. But basically, what as I understand things, the actuators are like 400 pounds each. To actually bring them onto the walkway, and then the technician will just basically come in and put them on the shaft, and then run to its limits. If you talk to the Buckner about fishery business, he's okay with that, because we shouldn't have to, but and then so that they'll just make their way down the walkways, which will all be above the ladder. And we also suggested in this memo, if you need a copy, I have one, that they do the
I'm sure there might be minimal disturbance.
Well, that's something. So
you don't need to dewater the ladder?
No. You said we're basically telling them to come back and let you can't take them down.
Okay. What are you intending to do with the tarps?
Just to protect any.
What are you doing? Covering the entire ladder?
No,
just the section.
Just the.
All just the walkway. Do is
you have a diagram or a schematic that shows what you intend. I'm concerned about that. Two things I'm concerned about. One is the amount of activity around the ladder during the day. The second thing I'm concerned about is covering the whole thing up and having a dark area which fish could delay in, especially steelhead. Now, we have, looking at the numbers, you had a 5-year average in there, but if you look at last year, it's probably more indicative of this year, and it's even higher. We got up to almost 4,000 steelhead a day towards the end of the period, 16.
How big of an area is going to be covered with those tarps?
My understanding was that only around one actuator at the time. It's the one which is being hooked up, because there is going to be some hooking procedure.
You'll shake it off into the ladder when you're done.
Connections being done. So only one actuator area will be covered immediately around, not all of them at once.
And for how?
What you're talking about is the route of passage through that ladder. There's no other at that point, that slot. So why can't this be done in November or October?
I don't know the specifics of November. But I know that there's an average.
Yeah, I understand that. That's December. But why not November? Why not once these fish, two things, one temperature. I don't want fish holding it in a ladder at 70-plus degrees. And two, the numbers. You know, fish numbers start to pick up by end of November, or mid-November, even October.
That's what I was going to say.
It's died down dramatically, and then I wouldn't have the issue. But with temperature, water temperatures as they are, you don't want fish holding.
You guys to be opposed to at night.
Rattling around. At night's fine, but this is 24 hours when I was proposed. So if you want to work in there at night only, that's...
Well, okay, so what I hear you saying is you give us conditional approval only at night.
Yeah, that's... That's fine.
However, if they need to work during the day,
Well, I would probably even say, I'd even probably say like last half October.
We don't take the ladder out in November.
Oh, no.
But this year was an exception to the construction. Normally it needs to run all the way through the end.
It just wouldn't be a lot of activity there fish-wise. So, that would be preferable than to August. Absolutely. Because we don't know the numbers, you know, how they're going to come through this year, but there could be some steam this year. So
are you okay with waiting until the end of process season completely, or for December?
Sure. I understand that. So we can stay out of that, but I think once we get past the bulk of the run, which is October, sometime in October, then I don't see a problem day and night. What I'm concerned about night only is that they need to set things up. You know, they're not going to want to have the tarps up for the night and get all down the day and put them all back up at night.
Well, I guess my expectation that if the mandate's night, they would bring
in
tarps.
At least for
that
specific
area. They would come with the tarp, put the one actuator in, or how many, but we think then it will take about 4 hours to actually get the cable. Yeah. Okay, so you do one night, and then you can move things, and then it'll go to the next.
They're going to move on down anyway, so they got to move. Well, then, I guess it's up to you guys. Nighttime is fine, or putting it until later in the working day and night. If you're concerned about safety and you know, things that go on at night, then it's moving to outside. But all of pick a lower passage time.
As long as we have
that. And lower temperatures. That's the more important thing that comes to fish. It's just not having fish holding up during that high temperature time.
Okay. Any other comments on your
No, that works for me.
Yeah,
thank you.
Issues
with the
hydraulic
thing?
It is on.
Like the vibration? Call me. Put me on speed dial.
Let's see.
I was going to say. It's too noisy.
Yeah.
That's why you sit on your butt at least. For me, it's more muffled that way.
Yeah.
Put your crotch back.
There's a problem with that, and I don't know if other guys
get older and get more.
I didn't know. I've been out, so I just came back. I saw that. Too late to say anything, but a lot of us are grabbing a wall on the 23rd for the 20, for the fairway meeting. It's the 24th and 25th. And it is the 24th and 25th.
Right.
I affirm that. Yeah. So I'm not driving down the way twice.
So what if I called back and gave a compromise at the
23rd. Yeah, afternoon of the 23rd.
Yeah, they gave us the 22nd or the 24th, but the 23rd wasn't an option. I assume it's because of the contractor.
I don't know. But I don't know. I can ask Carrie and see what the issues are.
You have to do what you have to do. If the Fed can be there, I don't have to be there. I was just going to say that if I was driving by and wanted to stop at 12 p.m.
You think you could come at lunch on the 23rd? Because we're trying to minimize the time that the contractor is down. Because they're
looking at various things. Yeah,
yeah.
If you have coverage of that.
You can run that.
Okay.
That's actually, well, you can be done with that back.
I want him to see it. I don't have to see it. I can see it later on.
That's our face-to-face.
I don't mind.
I was going to say, 23rd works good for me. I mean, I can do 23rd at lunch hour. And
I think Ed can't. Let me check.
Okay.
Well, let me also ask if they could do, if it's going to be at lunch, maybe, I could try to get up at one meeting and Carrie could do the next meeting. Maybe we could do the 23rd at lunch and the 22nd at lunch. Meet your need, meet your needs.
Yeah, that's great. It's just a matter of looking over and seeing, wow. Looks like a new project.
Oh, you
want to
get in and
feel
it?
I mean,
yeah.
It's all puffed and shiny.
Okay, 23rd.
Lovely on it.
Bring it
bubbly.
Yeah,
we haven't said that
big thing. Yeah, but it will be.
Yeah,
but
it
will
okay.
Next.
Whatever works.
Kill me.
Yes.
Kill me.
Does anybody need a memorandum from Steve? Thank you.
Thanks. Say, Natalie, just for your benefit, just a couple things on Lamprey that I was going to just give you a quick update and you might want to hear as well. So, let's see. I guess, real quick, 3.7 on the agenda is Little Goose JFF modifications. And just suffice it to say, we're on track. Things are looking good.
You got to take care of
it. Problems have been solved, and it looks like both the dewatering tower and the outfall will be up and completed by the end of February. It's too not don't
no,
clap
no, no,
yet.
No, no,
don't
no,
clap
don't curse them. Don't curse them.
But we're on track right now to hit the end of February, so it's looking good.
You figured out how to protect the
yeah.
noise.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good.
So that's just kind of a good news update.
Yeah.
There is some not so good news update. 3.9.
You had to follow, didn't you?
This is Lamprey, juvenile lamprey. If you remember February, a year ago, it was actually like almost a year ago today, Ice Harbor checked the cooling water strainers.
Yes.
And found...
you found strained lamprey, yes.
Found like 400 juvenile
yeah.
lamprey. That was a year ago.
Yes.
And so what we started doing was checking those monthly. Because that's something that had never been done before. We've been checking them monthly, and numbers have been not a lot to report there. But this week they checked them again for the February check. 701 juvenile lamprey in the streamers.
In one or in how many?
Yeah.
That's a total number.
It's about 100.
I think they looked at all the units.
I can tell you. They were all mortalities. Actually, there was one out of the. There was one that was alive. But they were. I asked. They were a combination of. Of that one was, like I said, was alive. 701 of them were mortalities. Of those, about half were looked fresh, like within
days,
yeah. And then the other half were older. But when I say older, they've been checked monthly, so all of them no more than a month old. There's What was interesting is, I'll just tell you real quick, Unit 6 had 5 hours of runtime on it and had 10 lamprey. Unit 5 had 420 hours of runtime and 75 lamprey. Unit 4, this one's the interesting one, 189 hours, so less than half that of Unit 5, 415 lamprey. Unit 3, 440 hours, 200 lamprey. And Unit 2, 638 lamprey, or 638 hours, 1 lamprey.
So that, I was going to get to that, and I'm glad you brought it. Keep this information, because I think we can use this to help delineate where the lamprey are passing.
Yeah.
And the bathymetry to match
The bathymetry to match it. And I guess, so keep all this information, and somehow we can put it together so that we can review it.
It's just, it's interesting that... you know, we had two pulses across, you know, we started monitoring these, checking these a year ago, and both times we had this pulse in early February. Yeah. And which is sort of, you know, if you remember some graphs that Clugston pulled together and Tom, you know, on lamprey passage, a lot of that's based on what we see at the fish facilities.
Yeah, which is not open.
Right now. So this is, it's...
You're monitoring... Your lamprey monitoring methods leave something.
Oh, yeah. We know they're passing, but they've killed them.
But they're absolute.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Where are the intakes into those?
Oh, at the top of the scroll case?
Right.
Yeah.
It's another
topic, but it's an update for you to let you know what we found.
Yeah, if you can start putting that information together to pass out, either as a file or something, that would be very useful, from at least for the service.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a matter of them staying there too long. I think it's just the fact that they go through the screen. I mean, there's...
Yeah,
it's a one-way passage.
Yeah. You kind of get curated through.
I would think if we might want to monitor it more frequently for the information.
Right. I'm thinking for timing rather than trying to salvage any.
Yeah. The pushback on that, I mean, at the same time, I want to congratulate folks at Ice Harbor who have like voluntarily stepped up and said we'll do this. It's a pretty onerous task.
Okay.
I mean, it takes almost a day to check them all.
Wow.
To go through them all and check them.
Why is that so onerous?
Because they got other already got to be doing it.
We're doing the best we can, Rick, and so we've never checked. The only time they were checked before, before a year ago, was just when you see a major differential and they need to be cleaned. And so we've gone in. The OM out at Ice Harbor has been really supportive, and so we're getting these data now for the first time. So I'm letting you know where we're at with it. We're gonna feed this to the lamprey team,
so to speak.
Anyway, the second issue is just, again, a lamprey update on the mods at McNary. Things are progressing well at the upper end of the ladder, at the tilting weirs. Okay. Holes are being cut. I don't know exactly where they're at, but their holes are being cut now.
And you're going to gate them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they will be gated.
Yeah, they'll be gated.
Yes.
And so that's progressing well. It's the lower end where we're running into some problems.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what came up. We're having problems dewatering the lower portion of the ladder at those diffusers. And so right now, the uppermost diffuser in the lower portion of the ladder is dry. So we can plate that. Right now, we're working to get the bottom of the end of the ladder dewatered. And so there's a series of things that they're trying to do, running into little hiccups that you tend to expect, but the point is, we think just as of yesterday afternoon, it looked like there was a slide gate that wasn't closing all the way, which would explain why it's not dewatering. And so they were working on it today. I should know more by the end of the day. But if we can't solve it with the slide gate, then perhaps a dive team will be coming in. So, not sure where this is gonna end up. But there is a couple glitches regarding installing those plates on the diffusers. So
these are the sidewalks.
Yeah, exactly. So
go out, fly around by the office.
That's just Those are the three updates that I wanted people to hear quickly. And also, agenda item 5 is the McNary T1 replacement. We don't need to go there. Suffice it to say, we did what I mentioned in my email, which is we're proceeding with the T1 work, which will result in units 1 and 2 being out of service.
Yep.
And so we're doing what I've communicated in the past. And just
the only thing I'd add to that, to reiterate, I guess, is the need for verdict observations. I think it's important.
Yeah.
Depending on how we want to pursue in the future, any potential for RT, adult RT monitoring this year with that situation,
yeah, and we
would be good. And we talked about
RT.
Yep, yeah, we have that.
So you were able to get RT in time?
Yeah. Okay, cool. Part of the lamprey
will be SCR.
Just an additional
intent,
really.
Yeah, I just want to make sure they all get it in.
Yeah, me too.
Cool.
It's something that we can also discuss at Fitterweek in Walla Walla.
Okay.
So, all right. So we have Shane.
You and were Matt Mesa. Mesa's on the phone.
Still?
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt? You on the phone?
Unmute.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You have 3 minutes. The floor is all yours.
I don't have anything to say.
I was going to say, Matt, I tried to go through I looked at yours briefly. I didn't see any substantially big changes. Was there any big changes you made from the previous draft and the draft that just got sent out?
Yeah, we changed a few things. They're probably... they're in the text, so if you compare the two documents, they might not be easy to pick out. But one thing was we decided on a kind of a block design, an on-off sort of design for a half an hour each period.
Okay.
Maybe up to 3 times a day. And then we put in there 4 distinct categories that we'll try to score fish into when we see them, ranging anywhere from fish swim right on through, no problem, to fish stopping, hesitating, turning around, and we'll be able to, so in other words, we actually have some metrics, we actually have something we can put in a checkbox for an individual animal. And I think there was some new timeline information in there, but yeah, other than that, it was pretty, I think before when we talked, it seemed like the major question was, how are we going to decide whether we're having an issue or not, what kind of data are we going to be collecting? And so now we have these actual behavioral categories that we should be able to actually use them to statistically compare,
yeah,
you know, treatment and control fish, I guess, if you want to call them that.
On page 5 of the study plan.
Nothing new on lampreys.
Or steel.
About that. Is there something new?
Yeah.
Page 5.
Objective 1, objective 2, task 1.2. Where
maybe
we?
I have the wrong version.
Task 1.2.
Okay.
The
1.2.
Objective 1,
you have
task 1.2.
Did you want to pull it up what I was saying?
Well, I don't see anything that describes any conditions. That was like a different version.
One, hesitator to stop. 2, enter the electric. 3, 4. So they have this project that broke out.
Okay.
Very good.
So, it's put in the text, because I remember reading that. So I guess where the question for the group is, I mean, so we have some metrics in that. We have a pretty stringent metric for adults getting potentially slowed down by the lamprey improvements at McNary. I'm assuming we're going to have something equally stringent for this. I mean, we saw 1 or 2 fish with the videos nosing their noses in where the lamprey slots were cut in the adult ladder, that we'd have a call and decide what to do. I'm assuming if we see negative reactions to fish entering the UMT, in the field area that we're going to want to have a call and discuss that. So that, as that would be at least the very first step.
We could do it that way.
I'm just saying, it just seems like, I mean, if we're going to be that concerned at McNary, I think we'd want to be equally concerned about at Bonneville. Considering the number of fish we're going to hopefully see at Bonneville this year should be big. So you might get your sample size yet.
Well, yeah, we don't know, but we could certainly report to you guys as often as the day we did the test, and we could say for certain electrical conditions we had this many fish come through and we saw two of them that stopped or hesitated or turned around. Yeah. Maybe that's the kind of real-time information you need to say.
That would be it. I mean,
split out of the water or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, what might not be a bad thing to do, we try to get a test of this as early as possible just to see, not with electrify, just see how fish reaction is with the structure as it is right now.
Gotcha.
And then try to get as much information as we can with an on-off and say, are they hesitating because there's a structure there, they hesitate because of the electric field? I mean, that's going to be the real issue to deal with.
If you'd be able to tell that with the data every
hope
day,
so.
It'd be on and off.
Hope so.
Yeah, should.
A half hour off and observing, and then a half hour on.
Observing.
Recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's on for half an hour, no electricity, seeing how the fish, I mean, we can turn it on, or not, I mean, observe beforehand, before the test to look at fish. Like, maybe get some bits and control periods of updates, just have a call after the first, you know, turn it on the first time, even have folks out there, be able to look over the shoulder, how they're out there.
That's not going to help much. I mean, you won't see the cumulative effects or the cumulative data. I mean, you see one thing.
Well, I know, I just did. It's a new technology.
I'm trying to read all my notes I have over
scribbles
here. Matt, I intended this, Gary, I intended to get you some comments on this written. I guess the main things I'm concerned about, I think Tom is lack of an off-ramp if we see problems. We need to define what those problems are, what you know, the concern. And I blew past your four different behavioral responses here. I was concerned that we didn't have those covered well, but maybe you do. And then the other thing I'm a little concerned about is whether the DIDSIM will even work.
Yeah.
You know, whether you will actually be able to see what you intend to see there. And you mentioned in here that and under task 1.2, it says, once the DIDSIM system is in place and has been tested, how to describe those tests to see, just, I don't know what you're going to do there, but you know that water quality is going to change out there through the season, so don't know
well,
how
well. I mean, to get to your first question really quickly, about all we can do for you guys is try to tell you what individual fish are doing, what's their behavior when they swim through the thing, when it's on and when it's off.
Right.
I kind of think you guys are the ones who have to decide if there's a line in the sand where if it's one individual that turns around and heads downstream, that's enough for you guys. Or is it going to be some kind of percentage or whatever? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't
know. All I can do is provide you with, you know, if we happen to see 100 fish and five of them stopped or hesitated or turned downstream, you guys will have to decide whether that's copacetic or whether that's bad. We're going to have to stop, so on and so forth.
That's right, Matt. But my comment here was that we need to develop criteria for stopping and discontinuing the test. That's the off-ramp. But we also need to develop a real-time reporting method, you know, something that works for you guys as well as for us in getting your observations to the group. You know,
right.
We don't want to make a knee-jerk reaction here either, so...
And I think what we could do there, Gary, is that I know we're going to have a person there during, you know, while the tests are ongoing. We could get the thing that comes to my mind off the top of my head is we could certainly have an email list available that we could do, you know, real-time updates of numbers for you guys, you know, every day or every other day, something like that.
Yeah.
They come in, and then we could say, here's what we found today, here's what we found the next day. And that could either keep going as things go on, as the experiment goes on, everybody is aware of what's happening, they still give the green light, or that could be information you use as a group to say, you know what, we've seen enough.
Yeah.
Or However it turns out, it just depends. But I think we could probably, if we had an email list of the interested parties, we could certainly do that.
Yeah, then we need, I want to avoid having knee-jerk reactions here. I think we need to separate what we consider to be an acute and dangerous response in the UMT versus something that, you know, is just an observation. May cause us concern for field deployment later, but not so much concern
right
for
now.
What's going on in the UMT.
Yeah.
So,
now, regarding your question about the DITSEN, we've had more than one meeting about that use of the DITSEN in the UMT here. We're lining things up with a bracket. We've got the right camera. But I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You know, we really don't know exactly what we're going to see and whether it's going to achieve our objectives. The only way we're going to know is to go out there and do it. And we're going to know a lot just in the first week or whenever we get fish going through there. And we'll be the first to tell you guys whether we can or we can't get there from here.
Okay.
But there's just not enough. I mean, you know, the way that we're setting this camera up and the way that it's being used and the filming angle is a bit different than DITSENs are normally used.
Right.
So the DITSEN experts up at the company are, you know, we had, as you recall, we had one of those guys down at the UMT. And their opinion after some testing and stuff was that there was a very good probability that it's going to work just fine. And our guys here, you know, are saying the same thing, but, you know, we haven't done it.
Yeah, it's the resolution. It's, what?
So you've already got the device in place. We might as well put the DITSEN in place, well, let some fish come through. Let's see what we can see. And it'll range anywhere from it's going to work great, and we're going to see a lot of good, distinctive behavioral information, to it's going to be real sketchy, and we can't see that much. And
it's
we're going to go to plan C.
How will you know that, Matt? How do you know?
Yeah.
And I've not spent time looking at this and you know, images, but I don't know is how accurate they are in reflecting the smaller behavioral responses that we might see.
Yeah.
You know, just head shakes or, you know.
Yeah.
Sure
when the images are good, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're just like looking at, you know, they're almost like looking at a video. We're not anticipating seeing video-like quality, but we are anticipating seeing the entire fish body.
Okay.
We're going to be able to categorize those fish into those four categories. Will we be able to see head shakes or twitching and things like that? I don't know, Gary. I don't know. I would kind of doubt it.
Well, it's up to you guys, I guess. You know, you're going to be looking at the pictures.
But the one thing is, I mean, yeah, and the nice thing about it is it's all going to be in real time. And if it's turning out that a lot of fish are showing aberrant behavior the first week or two, you know, this whole thing can go away.
Right.
So
that was one question we had, is like, could we start a little earlier, not even electrify it, and just see how well the DITSEN?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to try that. We have plans to, we're scheduled to bring a trailer down there in mid-February, just a couple weeks from now.
Okay.
We're working with Smith Root to get a bracket built that we can put the DITSEN just subsurface. And then as soon as we get that ready to go, yeah, we want to go in there before we start and mess around with it, get it set up where we want it. We have to demarcate some boundaries of where the electricity is going to be and where it starts and all that. So we've got some groundwork to do, and I think we'll learn some basic information then, probably a little more than we know now.
And I'm assuming you'll be coordinating with the Bonneville Project and figure
Absolutely.
Out from them and all that
Ben has been informed of everything that's going on. So I think the Smith-Drude guys are going to be going in there a couple of weeks and actually doing a field mapping of the electrical field, but Ben may know that schedule better than I do.
18.
So it's a little bit of a it's a little bit exploratory, you guys. I mean, and I think on the positive side, if things do go awry or we're seeing aberrant behavior, we can stop it. We'll certainly let you guys know.
Okay. The last thing that I have, Matt, is this. In your background, you mentioned that exposing steel to the 850-volt surface gradient of 1.9 volts per centimeter on down resulted in no significant injuries. That concerns me, of course. You know, the word significant is something that is always somewhat subjective. So, but are you actually going to that point?
Not in these tests, no.
Yeah.
Those were tests done up at Calus with a steelhead where we used a smaller version of the array and we turned it up.
Yeah.
We turned it up pretty high and we passed fish through it, and we did the same thing with controls. And then what we did was we took the two groups of fish, we took a blood sample from them, we froze them, and then we x-rayed them, and we filleted them later on.
Uh-huh.
And basically what that sentence is saying is that there were no differences between control fish and treatment fish in any.
Okay, well, what kind of barbecue sauce did you use?
Well, they were in MS-222, so
we so you had to wait 21
days. That's why you use the clove oil. That way they're all pre-oiled.
Okay, Matt, sounds good. I guess the thing is to keep us posted on what you see.
I will keep you posted. If Tammy or somebody wants to send me an email list of persons who want to be kept informed in real time as we can make it, we're glad to do it.
Thank you very much.
I'll include you on the FCOM mailing list, and then you'll have everybody's email.
Okay.
Okay. Two last things.
Make it quick.
Rick Sturgeon.
Yeah. Through the years, there have been sturgeon kills out at Bonneville, and this week we had another one where half a dozen or so sturgeon of various sizes.
Try the middle one. There you go.
Yeah.
That's better.
Showed up in I think it was definitely in Powerhouse 2 tail race. Let's go. There's a picture of the whole fish there somewhere. That one. So about 5 feet or so. Very obvious skull fracture. And I understand that there are, this is something that the hazers have been seeing, you know, several times a year, not every week, but and there's even some documentation that you guys know about from March 2008 when there was a significant, you know, pretty substantial kill. And my understanding that some procedures were put in place or changed to try to, you know, reduce that, but it's still happening enough that it's of concern to us anyway. And I would like to see the procedures reviewed and operations altered to try to reduce it further.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. We had the issue. The procedure we put in place was to tip the blades when it sat there for any length of time before we started up full speed. Was to move the blades around and then slow roll it. To bring it up to operating speed slowly, and we were out there to observe the difference between the two, and it seemed better. It doesn't fix it for sure.
So,
and the problem is, we put it for the time frame seasonally that we knew we were having the biggest issue, which was December through April. It's the time, and right now there's fish congregated, there's on the Washington shore. We do that somewhere every year in Ontario. A lot of them. And they move into the draft tubes pretty quick when the units go down. I don't know that we can do anything procedurally except slow roll all the time, and even that, we just minimize it. Won't
eliminate it.
Mm-hmm. Unless we can, you know, we can come up with something that keeps fish out of that draft tube altogether.
That's right. Taylor is trash racks, nice.
Sturgeon racks.
Yeah.
But is the assumption that they're coming Sturgeon scroll case down through the blade?
No, I don't think so. Not fish this size. Fish that size getting through the trash rack?
You mean they just go into the valve and then they get ejected? Oh, I see.
On shutdown, if the wickets are left open, those fish can come up through the draft tube in the scroll.
Oh.
Could you implement that?
Because
you can
shut the
wicket
gates.
Okay.
And then when they turn the unit up, that they shut the wicket gates all the way.
I don't know that that's the problem, but we certainly could.
But if it isn't really difficult, that might be one to add to the procedure. Yeah.
Wicket gates.
And we also, right now, just to have a number, it has 12 hours. Yeah. It's the trigger to slow roll if it's set for more than 12 hours. Maybe that needs to be shorter.
Maybe it should be shorter.
What Bob is suggesting is to make sure that after you shut down the unit, never open the wicket gate until the time when it's dewatered. Because when there is water in the unit, they can go out from the valve into the shore gate.
We found the hard way.
That keeps
so we just make sure that the wickets stay closed, and they have to be functional when they're doing their work on them. So we just keep the wicket gate. So if you have to be functional, rotate the wicket for 5 minutes, that's it. Close it when you're done, don't go home and leave it open.
So exercise it for a short time, then we keep it closed.
Yeah.
So bad.
Something to flush them through.
So now that's assuming that these fish are coming from the scroll case down to the blade.
Well, in talking to the ODFMW staff and also Washington Fish and Wildlife staff, there are a variety of injuries that occur. And these, there were six or so of them that they found yesterday. We have one of the fish in the cooler. It's got a real obvious big skull fracture, and the tail was messed up. Some of them, they describe a very uniform, deep slice, like every 10 inches, and sometimes, on a fish like this, halfway through the body. And in the March 2008 write-up or that event, there was talk about like the back of a fish being almost sliced off. And so it's, my idea of what's happening is that they're not in among the blades, not in the scroll case, but they're underneath and somehow coming up and getting hit by the blade that's spinning in a horizontal plane. Mm-hmm. And I'm having trouble understanding the cut, the slicing action.
What's the RPM on slow roll?
Well, I don't know what they start off with. But the first step, you mean?
Zero.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
they start with
zero.
But no, I don't know.
Hey, can I borrow this for a quick second?
They were talking about taking 15 to 20 minutes to go.
What is the operating speed?
Isn't that above 1%?
Close to 4%.
70
RPM. Okay, I was thinking 60.
So
okay.
75 RPM.
It's somewhere about, because it has to do with the frequency.
What's the RPM of the units at Barnabas?
75
or so.
Okay.
We're
sitting
right.
Oh, wait, no,
between 60 and 80.
So not it sounds like there is sort of an SOP already written out.
Yeah, there is. Yep. It's actually in the fish passage plan.
The question is, do you want to make it 4 hours instead of 12 hours?
We might need to make it 4. We might need to extend the season. We might need to do both. I'm not sure.
Do you?
What?
How do you? Are you comfortable with the ball being in your court to take a look at this and then
bring it back to
us? Bring it back to us and make some suggestions, recommendations.
Yeah. Yesterday's just I think this is the case, and I'm not sure. Two units had this happen. One was slow rolled. One could not be slow rolled due to a breaker issue where it could not happen.
They said, I don't know.
And they had to let it go, and I'm assuming.
It happened on Tuesday. It happened on Tuesday.
Oh, it wasn't yesterday.
It wasn't yesterday. It was Tuesday.
So they'll be smart enough for you tomorrow.
So, and that's the thing. We've had, unless you have someone standing out there like those guys, you wouldn't even necessarily see it.
Right.
Because units come on and off.
We should be observing.
So the observers should be reporting that to Project Fisheries so that they can put together fish memos and we can keep an accurate record of what's going on.
Well, we need two things to happen here. One is to keep the operations. I mean, you guys know what you're doing and when you're doing it. It's in the plan or in the report for the most part. But and then what you guys are seeing in the field, the hazers, what they're seeing in the field, they need to get time.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, and I've impressed that on them. But that's something that probably FPOM should make a request of Washington directly, and to, you know, ODFW directly, not just through me, but, you know, we need to say, look, you know, we are going to try and deal with this at the project. We also want you to document, collect the fish, even maybe, you know, that.
So should we tell Oregon now?
Yeah,
let's tell Oregon now.
What's our priority loaded? Is the second barrels our first priority right now?
Who's got the contract?
Supposedly.
Yes, so should we consider switching over and baseloading just a couple units at the second powerhouse? Because it seems like this problem always shows up in the second powerhouse. It's not prevalent in the first powerhouse?
It has occurred in powerhouse one. Yeah.
Is it more, or is it?
I can't imagine why the MGRs are being different. I mean, it's the same kind of issue.
If it was just the second powerhouse, because we have all those fish that are hanging out in the water control right now.
That definitely happens at both.
Well, are you thinking of trying to maybe move the sturgeon population to...
No. Base load units in the second powerhouse, a couple of them. And then flex from the first powerhouse because the bulk of the fish are actually hanging out in the channel over at the second, the Washington shore. So where are the most fish are is your highest likelihood they'll be swimming out the other.
So you're thinking do your off and on at powerhouse one with a couple of units to minimize your exposure?
Yeah.
Maybe not that idea.
Is there any merit to that?
You're running powerhouse one anyway?
No. Powerhouse two is still your main one, but basically because they need to turn units off and on. Have one or two units of powerhouse one you turn off and on and have those cycling through off and on, so you have to hopefully there'll be fewer sturgeon over there.
There's a base load that you need 30K going, well, you need the 110 KCFS for the chum operation right now, so base load units to get that. If you did any flexing, you do over the first powerhouse, not the second powerhouse. Because right now it almost all fits through the second powerhouse, so you turn them on and off and flex it there.
And if you got a lot of sturgeon there,
does it make sense to do it? Because they're all, you know, the guys on that side.
Are there issues with running powerhouse one when.
Not right now.
No.
Well, there's no ladder over there.
Well, that is, as soon as we get into...
adult.
Was the ladder down?
Yeah.
It's still down.
It'll be down until the end of the month.
Yeah. That's not good.
End of the month?
There's your... Yeah, exactly.
There's a master
but you're drawing them there. I mean, it'll be on and off in a second. You'll draw some, but it'll be on and off.
I don't know how... What's the frequency of on and off? The
sturgeon aren't
going to
go over
to
powerhouse one. They don't know over
there. That's my question. Like, so I mean, it sounds good.
They're probably in both places, but... appears they're congregated in much larger numbers than the second powerhouse right now. The observation of the thousands that are still along the shoreline.
Are they? Are you seeing that
now? Sturgeon ball.
Well, how many are still on B branch, though? I mean, there's a ton over there in Bradford Island.
Oh, sturgeon?
They're everywhere.
Okay. Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter.
Then it won't matter. Nice idea, though. So I guess increase slow roll.
Yeah, I'll talk to...
Try to keep the wiki gates closed.
When you get back. Yeah, and that might already happen, I feel like, because I brought that up before. I think I've talked to them about that.
And sooner, slow, low.
Yeah.
I think once you get a bit of flow there, I think it's going to be hard for a surgeon to swim up against that to get hit by the blades. It almost sounds like they need to be above the blades.
Yeah.
To make a contact.
They move the blades as part of the...
Yes, Tammy, we got these things, but nobody's passing them around.
I'll take a move.
Yeah, you'd hope by having it rotate that would, unless they're up there playing on it.
They have the same kind of injuries you're talking about. Some look fine. Some are bleeding out both ends. Some have obvious injuries. And some, you know, it's just, you don't know. And you don't know for sure. We've seen some that seem to recover. Others that you know definitely are not going to recover.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know the mechanism of injury. If it's actual blade strikes, if it's throwing them against something.
So we should think about this and carry it on because there's only 15 minutes till our next meeting.
The key here, as Tammy was hitting at, is to have Oregon and whoever's in the boat out there, they need to pass to some of those guys, but they need to document what they're seeing, what the injuries
photographs,
are.
Recording it. And Washington is doing that pretty well now, I understand.
So we can get that data. Maybe
they can forward that to someone,
Because, Rick, we're not even sure if it's a startup or just a running unit. Problem.
Yeah. And so I understand. Mm-hmm.
That might be a running unit problem.
Not even brought up.
Corner.
So,
okay.
Is this an adequate notification of Oregon?
Yeah.
Or do
and that, you know, we've got something that's going to happen. And,
right.
You
know,
go ahead.
Did I hear a commitment to change the slow roll start from 12 being down? From
I don't think you heard that. I think what we heard was Ben was going to take a look at
what
the,
could be done.
The SOP and look at it and mull it over to figure out how does it look? Do we need to update it? How would we update it? and then it'll come back here.
Okay, so we're going to see that as an agenda item next CAPCOM?
Sure. You're going to see most of this agenda at the next CAPCOM, so don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
So it's a change program, okay. Right, Tammy?
No, it's probably just
a couple things to clean up before we get to Scott. Our next official meeting will be March 11th as a normally scheduled meeting.
At
9
o'clock.
And
10 o'clock was nice. I was here at 9:30.
The April meeting, I'm going to be out April. The second Thursday is the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to be here. We can either continue to have it. I won't be here. I don't know, the 15th.
Did Byrne put you up to that?
No.
15th is SCT.
Yeah, 15th would be SCT.
Unless you have it in the afternoon.
You can still have a meeting. The chief of fisheries will still be here.
Mm-hmm.
First I can't do it.
Okay. The new acting chief will be here.
Her third role.
I'll also okay. Take
so FPOM on the 8th of April.
Yeah.
Is that what we're sticking with it on the 8th?
Tim, what's your schedule?
I'm gone. The first through the 8th. Well, through that Friday, the 9th. And then I'm back.
So those 2 weeks are out, so then it has to be the second week. Because they're about Friday.
16th?
I'm just throwing that.
Friday works.
I'm on furlough that day.
Friday.
Does the day before, so the 14th work? A Wednesday?
It could conflict with TNT.
Yeah. If you did in the afternoon, then you'd have no problems. If
afternoon of the 15th, afternoon of the 14th, probably.
That's what we're
going to do
every
other
week. Yeah, the 14th and every other week? TNT day.
Afternoon?
What about Tuesday?
Afternoon.
Afternoon could be open.
Well, we could always run F back a little shorter.
We could flip it to the afternoon, too. We do that a lot.
I agree.
Well, does any time that week the
12th?
Well, here.
The week of okay, what's up?
We've got an SCT meeting on the 15th,
right?
Or we should have it.
Yeah.
So typically we will be done with that at noon.
If not earlier,
we have the FPOM right after, and if we don't get everything covered, we can carry it over to the morning of the 16th.
Okay.
Incentive two.
Okay, so that's April 15, which is Thursday.
Is that okay, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Start.
As long as we don't have an SCT field trip. April. Yeah.
Where the hell are we going to go?
So is 1 o'clock in FPOMs, is that a good time for FPOM start?
We could even start a little earlier if you
want. You want 12:30?
Because, I mean,
after it, yeah.
I mean, the president's budget is out, whoopee-doo. That still doesn't help us because the Congress budget won't be out.
I'm not going to have much to do.
Yeah, all we're going to do is argue about criteria of ranking, which I could give a rass-ass less about. So
so you want it at noon? F-bomb?
We could do noon.
We should probably make it after lunch.
Yeah. Say 12:30.
I wouldn't recommend starting an F-bomb at noon.
How about 12:30?
I was thinking after lunch.
12:30, you can bring your lunch. We can start here at the lunch meeting.
12:30. Okay.
15. Tammy will bring us lunch. She'll be lovely. So.
On the
15th.
So we have this room, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. All day on the 15th, and we have a phone line.
Let's say we're golden.
And Tammy, you want to remind Kathy to release the 8th, this room on the 8th, so somebody else can.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Now, is that okay? Decision's made?
Yep. Done and done.
Tammy, that works. We are good. 15th, 12:30. Okay.
Tricky clubs would be nice.
All right. And just to recap then, for Dave.
Is that the rolling?
Fish Pastures Plan change forms will be sent to us, close the business to 8th, and then we'll send them out. And when all the agency folks, when you get them. And
do you want to get BPA stuff real quick?
Yeah. Then the comments are due close the business on the 12th. When you send those comments back in, make sure you include Tammy, Doug, me, and Greg at minimum.
Yeah.
So when you respond to Dave's change forms, make sure you have Tammy, Doug, me, Greg at a minimum on your response.
So you have 3 minutes.
We have time to respond. Good?
Hey, Tim?
Yeah.
The next meeting would be the 13th of May.
Yeah.
What about meeting out John Day or the Dell so that we could have like a combined SCT FCOM field trip out to see the wall and the A-beam arrays?
That's doable.
Probably just go to just have a John Day and you'll drive by the wall. Cause, I mean,
yeah, I think that's a good idea.
It's a big wall.
The wall.
And at some point, we need to have our FCOM mural at McNeary.
Yeah. Oh, where's your mural?
But
we can certainly discuss that next month, though, because the rest of us have another meeting this afternoon.
Yeah. And someone's getting hungry.
Scott is up with our last agenda item.
What this is Long Hill is building a new line from John Day to McNeary. That's roughly 80 miles long. It's going to be energized in the fall of next year, 2011, okay. November, December. There's one section, next slide, please, that... This is a substation at McNeary. See a little insert here, over here. Yes. Anyway, the reason we want to show this is the new line runs right here across the top, and it covers all the powerhouse lines. So initially they were just going to span the two towers, and we said no, it's not a good idea if it falls and it takes out the entire McNeary powerhouse.
Yeah, that's right.
So instead they're putting in four towers to segment it off. And so what's going to happen is that they need to have half the powerhouse to run the line across, and the other half, it's 2 weeks each time. To get this to go all the way across there. They have to
what
build
time
the
of
towers.
Year?
They originally wanted to do it in September and October.
Okay.
And that kind of sucks for adult passage, I was thinking, because the daytime.
August ain't going to be much better.
So, August is what we were trying to push them back into. And so, the proposal is to do the units 1 through 8 in the first part of August, one and then 8 through 14 in the second part.
August this coming August?
No, a year from now.
Okay.
2011. But the reason I'm bringing it up now is that we're writing a contract to be let in March for next year.
You going to look at that?
Half the powerhouse out.
Half the powerhouse out on one
end is not a big deal. Half the powerhouse out on the other
end. Well, I guess the question is pick which half you want to do first.
Exactly. That's the question.
Would you want to do...
Well, the fastest isn't all the way through.
Yep.
It is, but it's all the way through the entire
season. August. Well, it would be better to have the...
We are probably going to be in north load anyways of early August because of temperature.
So, the south is the better. Sometimes
so, adults
too.
But well, but do the south the second half. First half do
that would be bad.
The south, the second half
do
the
south first and then north.
So 1 through 8. North will be running anyways for beginning of August anyways because probably temperature.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, like October.
That would almost make sense.
So you could say 1st of August, north makes sense to run that and do the south, and then second half, do the south. I guess that's probably about the best you can get. Because you're going to have temperature concerns the first part, so you want to run the north end for temperature.
Right, 14,
temperature
why aren't you going to have temperature
so what's this line
at the end of August?
Well, I'm saying,
Scott, what's this line
going to
do? Is this going to help?
You're less likely. You might.
You're
less likely to south. Also be your fish. And your adults will start predominating. So it's
we're running out of fixes without building new lines in this one that really got
and it's going over the power
it goes over the substation it
goes over the power lines
the substation where all the lines come together
yeah.
In order to get it in there you have to expand some lines and so in order to do that you have to build towers to hold it
put it underground
they looked at that it didn't work
cost too much. This is better this way. Al-Qaeda can take it out and they can take it out.
They don't want 500 kV underground.
There's an irrigation district channel there too at the same time.
Oh, they want to look for that?
Yeah, they want to
look for that. Into that with your backhoe.
That's right next to it.
So
right
I guess what I'm hearing is...
They ain't going to do it.
People aren't thrilled with the timing of this, but that's a constraint we can't do anything about. So I heard Tom present the best case given the constraints.
Temperature and everything else we run. Okay, yeah, there's no way they can bump this back later.
Yeah,
later being
October.
Yeah,
the temperature.
Possibly, but it's getting to the point where they have to turn it off. That's
thunder, lightning. Done.
This is like the last piece that.
Of course,
to be
it's
done.
Always the last piece.
Well, I mean, still they can wait. They could wait until October.
Even like the last week or two, start like last week of September, and then cause you said it's 2 weeks total or four
2 weeks?
Weeks.
The month total, 2 weeks.
Two weeks each.
We got to build the tower.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying 2 weeks for each.
So they're pushing it as hard as they can to get it done in 2 week block.
Because I ask you, it's low flow. You're only really worried about.
Well, next year. It's not this year. It's next
no,
year.
I know.
What about disjunct blocks? You do 2 weeks and then wait a month and then do the last 2 weeks.
Is that?
I could ask.
Deployment, you know, multi-mobile.
Because
multi-year.
If you know you're going to be doing
that,
so if you know you're going to be doing the north loading anyway,
that's
the best. Right. Do that first part, and then just figure out when to do the south
until later.
Until when you have the adults. Is that possible?
The south 1-8.
Yeah, the no-brainer one's the north side. So you just do that whenever you want in that August time frame. But
well, you do
the other part of it. So
you're
start
doing the south side.
You would do the south
side.
Yeah, the south side's off.
South side is off.
Take the south side out.
Right, right.
So don't say do the north side. Sorry. And so when you say October, you're saying the last 2 weeks of October.
Nah, I could. Yeah, I'm not half bad. I could do like mid October. Depends on the dollar return, really.
It's going to be huge.
What did you say to that?
When you say October, it's on October 1, I guess, as you're pushing it somewhere in the mid to late October. It's the 2 weeks if you're going to do that.
Well, seems like it'd be preferable.
I'm more worried about juveniles on this one, I guess. And, you know, that...
Well, see, in August, you're already spilling.
We're transporting those.
You've got
transport?
Your
wow.
But that's about spills. Yeah.
Spill?
Spill a lot of fish within our house, unfortunately. And our spill, our community... North loading is best for spill, south loading is probably not so good for passive fish or spill that you can get more fish in the powerhouse. That's what I'm worried about. If
yeah.
That may have some.
Well, if you're more of a juvenile,
you think about it a little bit. You know, but
if you're thinking about that, then maybe like you could start like end of September.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
End of September. Because you, the bulk of your adults will be passed.
Yeah.
So.
Probably stops. You should stop transportation in September, end of September.
We still have an adult issue that we haven't resolved yet either, so that's
an old.
So I guess you have to know today.
Yesterday.
But I need to know by next month.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll be down at Erdick.
Can we talk about this down at Erdick?
Yes.
Who from BPA is
Jason.
Going to?
Jason.
Okay.
So if we have a decision on this at next FMOC, that's
that'd be good.
Okay. Everyone hear that? We'll come prepared for a decision on this March 8th.
Yeah, let's do that.
As prepared as
we
always are.
Yeah.
What do you want, Sammy?
What do
you want?
Some way to make it better for
Bento?
I'm getting
Bento.
And if there's questions that you need to ask beforehand,
I'll just make everyone
contact. Do you want Pad Thai or Kung Pao?
And just real quick, the FOP, I know we've talked about here in the past.
FOP? What's that?
There was questions about, okay, the FOP, are we going to have it this year? And we have our division rep, but...
Clugston, yeah.
But yes, the answer is we will have a FOP.
What I heard is TMT.
We don't know what's going
to... What we heard is TMT from the TMT core chair was that there will be a FOP in every year. This year it will either be based on the biop or the court order of operations. And so if they think it's a good thing,
reiteration of the biop.
Yeah. If it's not under court,
a biop. Yeah.
They think it's a good appendix, and they're going to have every
year. Yeah. Okay, so we'll talk to you all over email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
everybody walk around your chair for the
part is what.
See you the 8th.
Walk around your chair.
What's
Yeah. Whoa. It's long.
I want to go get a cup of tea.
Well, I'm heading down there.
Hey, you bring food to us.
You're cheap, Courtney.
I don't know.
Like a bird anyway. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that said,
okay,
Right.
That's good.
Let me help out if you need some stuff on the fish passage plan.
Okay.
Inserts, whatnot.
All right. Well, I might take you up on that.
Because
this is exciting. We got through it all today. So.
Yeah, we're all through today. If you want me to send you whatever.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We got almost. Let me get some food, and I'm coming right back up here. Are you guys going to be up here?
No, I'm going to split.
Go home. Are you going to be here?
Oh, yeah. Exchange.
Do you want me to grab some food? I'm going to get some.
But, yeah, keep me in mind, okay, if you need
well, thanks.
It for...
I appreciate it.
Because...
Thanks for getting through all this. This is great.
Yeah, this one's good.
whatever, finalize that stuff. Another calendar, Tim.
You know, I'm...
Wow!
You know, I actually, I'm going to stick around for a little while just because I want to better understand the context of this.
Oh, no, you don't. But it's probably going to say a lot
more than I do now. I kind of got the
much lower than the initial estimate. I wouldn't at all because people just have already in your oil. But there was some residual transformer, there was some remnants, but the initial test was showing much higher PCBs. But the following
was fine. So
it's not as toxic.
Okay. The last thing then for you guys actually that's a good criteria.
Two things kind of outside of this for
we'll talk about it
tasks for tomorrow.
I'm thinking that this becomes...
I think when I talk to John, did not get a chance.
What I was going to look at that was agenda for
the commission.
On our Tuesday meeting. And so, what I'd like, if you guys can take...
Oh, come on!
15 minutes to look over the agenda and just the three of you. I won't be there. But I've already sent out an update to you guys, but everyone just say, looking forward to seeing you. I don't think we're going to send out we'll have it for them. I don't think it's that. Or, I mean, we can send it on Monday. But what I'd like is if you guys can take a look at it on Friday, then I'll look at it before. And we can either choose to send it out on Monday or just hand it out on Tuesday. But I'd like to look it over. If you guys,
I agree with you on that. We can fill out our hard spots.
Yeah, right now. Right.
Cut off those things right now. And so Monday morning, first thing, that's the thing we'll get.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
That's not one. And two is something that I'm going to have to get to on my computer sometime tonight. Is this box from the vision. We have.
Okay, everyone here for the Appendix G meeting will get started in about 5 minutes.
Our input is to close the business on Monday.
Ouch.
So tonight, I'm telling you this because I'm not sure how much time I have to put together a long email providing the chance. So if you could kind of build we have to fill out this thing because it's not. I mean, that's
a new language and justification doesn't tell you what it was.
Okay, good. It's in the record. You'll see the structure of it. I'll send you some information so that you'll see exactly what it's about. It's not like pages we're talking about.
Okay, good.
For everything that's in our language, we can probably hit it in.